about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
How did they talk me into this? I hate documentaries. I hate being on documentaries. I hate answering questions. Anyway, all right, what do you got? Let's begin the unpleasantness.
Is that what we're going to call it?
Yes,
today?
Let's begin the unpleasantness.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
The reggaeton horn.
No horn.
When I'm in a bad mood, like, and I just play that sound, I'm automatically in a good mood.
Yeah.
I think you're both drunk. I smell alcohol.
Where can people go to get information and be, you know, turn the ignorance around?
Hey, Ali, it's me. Thanks for the other night. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I blame it on the hip hop.
Roll another one.
Walk on.
Just like the other one.
That's my John.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Mommy Mikey.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Oh, that's right.
Hey now.
I don't have another cent.
Would you believe a girl from LA would love Bill Withers?
You know how ladies can get.
Just pass it around.
These are not people. Just remember that.
And now.
Clippity 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 clippity.
Our feature presentation.
I don't know what that last song was, but I want it.
Have you had the occasion to watch Annoying Orange?
No. Oh, yeah, but it's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while.
There's never been a show that has been more accurately named than Annoying Orange.
Yeah, that is the... That song should be relabeled Bean Will Hate This.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are a lot of people out there, Ralph maybe included, who have little kids who have been into Annoying Orange for a long time. I didn't know about him until last year when Weird Al made an appearance on Annoying Orange. Of course, I had to follow Al.
Sure.
And I saw that show, and I just couldn't believe it was a real thing. I mean, if you tried to invent a show that's the most annoying show in the world,
yeah,
this is what you'd come up with.
It's just an orange that makes those noises?
Yes. Well, I mean, there's dialogue and there's other characters that live. They have you know, storylines and stuff. But, yeah, all of the noises are hyper-exaggerated like that. I mean, it is frantic.
It's wow. Just, it is crazy bad.
It's annoying.
It's annoying.
And he's an orange.
It's accurately named.
Yes, it is.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 6th of January.
So, how's everybody doing?
Real good.
Real good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How about you?
Okay. How about you, Bean?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Oh.
Hey,
did you hear it in his voice a little bit?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard a little sadness.
I didn't
was
like it.
Sadness or pain?
It was,
what do you think?
I felt more sad.
Sad.
Yeah.
Bean's a little sad.
Bean, what's going on?
Here's a story to
Who
get us started
you?
On today's all-new
what's
Kevin and Bean show.
Come here, Bean.
Have you guys
Come
seen
here.
The, have you guys seen the guy who showed up to Starbucks one day and was met by the police and they said, you're not allowed to come into the Starbucks anymore?
No.
Have you seen that guy?
I did not, no.
All he did was ask out a barista.
Okay.
I feel like there's more to that story.
Absolutely.
If police are outside of the Starbucks.
Let's see if there's more to that story.
All right.
This is where the incident happened just a few days ago at this Starbucks here in downtown on Main Street. Well, I reached out to the Spokane Police Department as well as Starbucks to find out more about what happened. This is the post that's gone viral. It's from a man, who we won't identify, who says he was banned from a Starbucks in downtown Spokane. In an email, he told us it's because he wrote a note to a barista asking her out on a date. He says she was probably 16 years old, and he's 37 years old.
Well, I mean,
Ew.
Was it Bean?
That's an age difference that a lot of people aren't comfortable with.
Even with the age difference, I think the 16-year-old part is also a negative.
Yeah. By most people, you mean the court system?
Sure.
No, actually, 16 is the age of consent in Washington.
Oh,
and
wow.
He
makes sense.
There's no impediment for an older person to date a person of that age.
Okay, really? Then there must be still more to the story because the police were outside.
Yeah, they were.
Okay,
his name is Lucas Werner, by the way. He wasn't named on the TV story, but that's his name. And apparently, he has a thing. He is on Facebook a lot. Talking about his belief that younger women and older men produce healthier babies. And he is blasting the Spokane Starbucks for age discrimination. He said, a barista said I was funny and that she liked me, so I politely thanked her, sat down to drink my hot chocolate, and I wrote her a nice note so as not to interrupt her work schedule, asking her out to dinner if she was interested, and then I walked out. But when he returned to the coffee shop the next day, a police officer informed him he was banned from the downtown Starbucks because his note was, quote-unquote, creepy.
Was it Bean?
Now, I wish he had shared the note.
Absolutely.
Because I think what's in the note is the crux of this entire story.
No?
No, it's not anywhere.
Because if that's all he said...
Mm-hmm. That was a big overreaction.
Yeah, there's no police that show up.
Right. He says, again in his Facebook post, I did not ask her to have sex with me. I simply asked if she would like to have dinner sometime. Perfectly normal adult behavior. I figured if she was 16 and flirtatious, but I knew it was still legal to ask her to dinner. So let's see if there's more in the news report.
He says there's nothing wrong with this, and he feels he is being discriminated against. Apparently, Starbucks management thought something in the note was inappropriate enough to get the police involved. So the man asked his Facebook friends to call and complain to Starbucks, but his call to action was met with some strong opposition. Many people commented on Starbucks' page, applauding them for banning the man. Comments like, thank you for supporting your employees, thank you for standing behind your baristas.
Now, without knowing what's in the note, I'm still I guess I'm not surprised that people are siding with Starbucks here, but I just have so many questions about this thing. Now, if the guy had been 25, same deal, still kick him out?
A lot less creepy.
Probably a little less creepy, yeah.
You know, this...
I have a question for
you. Was it Bean?
Even people who don't go to Starbucks commented in support of the ban, and the conversation reached far beyond Spokane.
I would just like to say, for the record, by the way, to all people who are putting news broadcast on television, mm-hmm. reading people's Facebook comments is not news. Is it?
It has become news, yeah.
It certainly seems like that's what a lot of newscasts are, is what people said on Facebook.
At some point, Bean is going to come to my side and stop watching the news. That's going to happen at some point.
I think you could be right.
I've been leaning towards your side. I'm not going to lie.
So, like I said, without knowing what's in the note, I mean, look, somebody put the word creepy on it, and I'm here to tell you that a lot of things get labeled creepy that aren't creepy.
Was it Bean?
But I suspect in this case there was something creepy in that note that he's just not owning up to. Otherwise, he would have shared the note. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
On his Facebook page, by the way, he describes himself as a scientist without a degree in science.
Oh,
same then.
Yeah. He also says, and I don't know what this word means, attrited millennial hearts. I am not you. I am Generation X, but a simple K-selective diploid mammal of the species Homo sapiens.
Good Lord.
Wow.
As such, we partner best as males of my age with young adult females. We are not creepy. We are no different than the apple tree, the salmon, and the primate.
Okay. Well, I'm now saying there was definitely something creepy in that note.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
I think we can all agree this time.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're the man after my own heart.
I don't want to be. We have the movie beat today because it's Friday. Mm-hmm. Also on Fridays, we check in with RJ Bell in Las Vegas. This weekend, we're talking about the NFL wild card. Which, is that cool to have teams still playing?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's all I know.
I bet that's...
Yeah.
It's all you know.
How long has it been since the Patriots didn't make the playoffs?
78 years.
That's about right.
Brand new internet roundup on today's show. Michael Snyder from TV Guide joins us to talk about Golden Globes, which are this Sunday night. We have Ashley Esqueda from Las Vegas. She's at CES, all the new electronics that are being shown there.
Yeah. Something interesting happened at a Starbucks near her yesterday.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, an escort meetup.
Oh.
I want to hear all about it. Phone died. We need to find out.
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
Wow, all right. We'll ask.
As she was getting into the guy's van or what?
No.
Was it Bean?
And the star of Underworld Blood Wars, Kate Beckinsale. One of the most beautiful women in the world. We're going to have to, I hope, Bean's connection is secure enough that he doesn't drop out at some point during
so
the show.
Sad.
I think you're the one we have to
really
worry about
suck.
With Kate Beckinsale.
I do love her, but I'm able to say that without being creepy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Bean last night was tweeting, stay calm, to himself.
That was Dave who's tweeting that. That wasn't me. It was Kevin Bean account. That wasn't me.
Bean.
Just so you know.
But Bean.
It'll be fine.
Come here.
I'm not comfortable enough with that. It'll be fine. Because it was a little bit of a question. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right, everybody? Anyway, we're going to talk to her coming up as well today. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 552.
Hey, it's Ralph Garman, you guys. Must mean it's time for that thing
that
he does.
Annoying orange?
It's my wacky morning DJ voice.
Do you have to use it?
Yeah, I
okay,
do.
All right.
Are we on radio in the morning?
I mean, yes.
I mean, we are weenie in the butt. You can't stop that.
Why? I want to be Jerry Lewis when I grow up.
I don't think you do.
Yeah.
Everyone,
you will be, by the way.
Be 90 years old. 90 years old with just no F's left to give. Just do that to people. It was a shame. Answer that to everything. Good morning, boys and girls. Did you know that Conan O'Brien has a television show?
What?
No.
Can you believe that?
Yes.
I think I would have heard about that if that was the case.
Every night.
What?
On TBS. It's true.
Is it on television?
On television. TBS.
Can you only watch it on your phone or something?
You can watch it on your phone if you want
really?
As well.
Various media sources are saying that Conan O'Brien will be signing a new contract before it's up next year with TBS, but they might change the format of his television show because apparently it has been less than dynamic. Look, the late night field is very difficult to navigate right now. It's very crowded.
There's some really great shows on networks. People aren't going to TNT to look for that.
Or TBS.
Or TBS,
or the one
either
we're
one.
Talking about,
either
for
one.
Example.
Right.
Yes. So they're talking about maybe you're taking his show down from 1 hour to 30 minutes a night.
Okay.
Or maybe doing fewer shows per week, maybe once a week. Make it a weekly show instead of a nightly show.
Hmm.
And, of course, they want more features. They want more things that you can YouTube after the fact.
Sure.
Apparently, he did a thing with Kevin Hart that was very successful. The two of them working out together or something, and that's what they want him to do more of.
Yeah, Kimmel and Fallon seem to own those viral clips the next day.
Yeah.
Jay Corden. James Corden.
Sure.
I call him
Jay.
Jay. That was very weird.
Jay Cor. That's what the... Jay Cor. That's what his friends call him.
And Corden. S. Colbert sometimes, too.
Yeah. Sometimes.
So, we'll wait and see what happens, but... It doesn't seem like that's a high-profile show to me, Conan O'Brien.
No.
It feels bad.
Yeah,
you
rarely hear
guy,
about it.
But yeah. He's not top of mind.
Right. But you're right. He's super talented.
Remember we were down in San Diego for Comic-Con?
Yep.
And I was coming out of the hotel, and he was in the same hotel, and he was doing a sketch where he was a superhero, and he's all dressed up in a costume and everything. I was like, oh, that's right. He has a TV show. He must be filming something here. But I completely forgot about it for a long period of time. Anyway, funny man, and I wish him all the best.
I'm not sure I'm a fan of that.
That's what separates each Showbiz Beat story.
That's right.
Yeah.
Instead of the paparazzi. Instead of the camera shutter, it's going to get that sound. Hey, you guys excited about the Golden Globes?
Nope.
Come on.
Nope.
Is this the one where they drink?
Sunday night.
Yeah, it's usually the one where they drink. Super fun.
So, I mean, like the one where they drink.
It has crazy star power.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know Jimmy Fallon's hosting, though, right?
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Oh. I'm a scared.
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't help.
I'm a scared. Yeah. Oh, he's going to sing, isn't he?
Of course.
Oh, he's going to dance in his tight pants or whatever that thing is. Some bad things are going to happen.
Yeah, that's the wrong Jimmy hosting.
But here's the upside. Sly Stallone's daughters were going to be Miss Golden Globes. Usually they pick one celebrity daughter and she gets to be Miss Golden Globe.
Okay.
But because Stallone's got three, they're making all three of them Miss Golden Globes and they will bring
What do they do? Oh, that's
they bring the awards out to the winners.
Okay.
And escort them on and off the stage. It's an honor.
They are beautiful human beings.
But I had not really seen them until I saw this story. And they had a picture of Scarlett, Sophia, and Sistine Stallone, aged 14, 18, and 20. And they are all supermodels.
Yeah. Really?
Well, he's married to Jennifer Flavin, who's very beautiful in her own right. So luckily, the genetic seesaw tipped to her side.
That's good news.
Because you wouldn't want three women looking like Sly.
Nope.
Oh.
Hey, how you doing? You want to go out on a date with me? My name's Sophia.
you wouldn't want that. That would be unfortunate. Anyway, they will be the Miss Golden Globes for their...
Oh, there it is.
Right? And One Day at a Time's coming back. Tonight on Netflix. Are you excited?
Allie was very quietly excited.
She was pumping her fist silence.
In radio. The pumping fist really works in radio.
It really does.
Translates well.
This is a very popular 1970s sitcom, One Day at a Time. Starred Bonnie Franklin and Mackenzie Phillips.
I got nothing.
Valerie Bertinelli.
Mm-hmm. Schneider, and he has those keys on a ring. And
hey, Ms. Romano. How you doing, Ms. Romano? Schneider!
I mean, I sort of recognize Schneider in that voice, but I don't think I ever watched that show regularly.
Well, then it'll be fresh for you. It'll be a fresh experience.
Or
it's One Day at a Time. It's about a single mother with two kids, but this time she's Cuban-American. It's a Latino update.
Okay.
Of One Day at a Time. And a very popular theme song, One Day at a Time. You don't remember the theme song? This is it.
This is it.
This is it. So that's not the theme song. But can we stop that just for a second?
This is it.
Maybe you want to wait until you are maybe cued for the audio, and then that'll help everyone along.
So you said this is it, and then she said this is it, and then there was a pause. So I thought, hey, I'm.
You thought this is it.
I thought I was slow.
By pause,
I thought
you
I was going to get yelled
breath.
At.
Yeah.
This is it.
So what has happened, because this is a Cuban-American update of the story, they found Kevin's favorite singer, Gloria Estefan, to step in and re-record.
Come on, Kevin.
I hate her so much.
The sitcom theme with a Latin flavor. Feeling you! Latin flavor!
Is that your Vic the Brit? What's happening?
So now Gloria Estefan now has the This Is It theme song, but it's got Congo drums and stuff in it. So it's better?
I don't think
anyway,
so.
This is what it sounds like.
This is it. This is life, the one you get. So go and have a ball. This is it. Straight ahead and rest assured. You can't be sure at all. So far, go here, enjoy the view.
Yeah.
Keep on doing what you do. Hold on tight, we'll muddle through one day at a time.
Yeah, right? Come on.
I mean...
Why are they shooting guns in the air?
I have no idea. Crazy party.
Can I stop playing this
anytime?
Now?
Anytime.
All right, excellent.
So now you got that.
Wow.
I think we have a wiener.
Today's celebrity birthdays, model Irina Shayk.
Yes.
What the hell happened?
What hit the mic specifically? Creepy. My hand on the weight of the bell.
All right. Creepy. Creepy.
Wow. AF.
I can't.
Creepy AF indeed. Retweet that.
Speech their name.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Take it easy.
Arctic Monkey singer Alex Turner is 31 years old today. Actress Kate McKinnon is 33. Eddie Redmayne, 35 years old today. Actress Joey Lauren Adams, 48.
Sure, what's happening either?
Norman Reedus.
He has a machine gun.
Norman Reedus, Norman Reedus. Norman Reedus, Norman Reedus, Norman Reedus. Oh, 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 Norman Reedus. Rock me, Norman Reedus. It's my new hit.
Oh, okay, good.
You all pick it up. He's 48 years old today. And actor Rowan Atkins. That's not Mr. Bean, is it?
That's Mr. Bean.
I love Mr. Bean so
but
much.
But it's Atkinson, Rowan.
That's what I thought. Why does it say Rowan Atkins? That's what I was thinking.
I thought it was
Atkinson. I thought it was, too. That's why I'm looking at this name. I'm thinking maybe this isn't the person I'm thinking of.
Not my fault.
It's better Dave Bean's the King birthday. Of Mexico.
What, Bean?
It is Rowan Rowan Atkinson's, Mr. Bean's birthday.
All right, so that's probably.
62.
So why does this list say Rowan Atkins?
Again, that's a King of Mexico.
Is Dave version. Cutting out carbs from his diet, maybe?
And it's possible.
And so he's confused?
It's possible.
Yeah.
You know what's the best thing about that guy is that he doesn't say much? Is that Mr. Bean?
Mr. Bean?
Yeah, he's very quiet.
England got the good Mr. Bean. That's what you're saying.
Yep.
That's what I think,
Doesn't
too.
Need more information ever.
Nope. He's 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
Mario Quinn, I want to say, from Whittier. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're going to be on board the K-Rock Ditch Day Party Bus to Mountain High. That's going to be coming up on Friday, January 20th. We got another chance for you to win coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show. You can go to krock.com for more information and yet another chance to win. That's like all-time snow coming in the next few days right there.
Yep.
The mountains, right?
Yep.
All-time like snow.
All-time
dozens
snow.
Of feet.
That's what they call it.
All-time
hey, it's
snow.
Friday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means it's time for Ralph Garman and the Movie Beat. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
We're in the post-holiday blockbuster doldrums, some call it. It's kind of a lull between the big movies that were released over the Christmas holiday to get a lot of people in the theaters. And then there's a little space there, a little breathing room for some smaller films, a few high profiles. But mostly this is an interesting time in movie theaters. And then, of course, we ramp up towards spring and summer for more giant films. But good weekend. Some interesting stuff going on, like A Monster Calls, which is going into wider release this weekend, based on the very popular children's fantasy book, the story of a young boy who needs the help of a tree monster to cope with his mom's terminal illness. It is a heartbreaking fantasy story, and by all accounts, this is done beautifully, starring Lewis McDougall and Felicity Jones and Liam Neeson as the voice of the monster. Here are some clips from the trailer of A Monster Calls.
He called from Monster. About you.
What shall I destroy next?
Break the windows!
Break them yourself.
It's okay that you're angry. I'm angry too. And if you need to break things, by God, you break them. I wish I had 100 years. 100 years I could give to you.
You are all going to die tonight.
No, Kevin.
No, no one's
it gonna. Looks so beautiful.
That's what I meant.
It's very touching. Hidden Figures also opens up in wider release. You've got Taraji.
Figures that are hidden.
Taraji P. Henson, Octavia Spencer, and Janelle Monáe. Based on a true story, this is a team of African-American women who worked in NASA, and they provided important mathematical data needed to launch the program's very first successful space mission. So you don't know a lot about the people behind the scenes who got those white boys up into space. Right?
Right.
Whitey gets all the attention. Oh, hey, look at me and my crew cut. Look at me and my crew cut. Look at me. I'm an astronaut. What about the hardworking black women who got you there, Whitey?
It sounds racist.
Why don't you watch your language before you make Bo Bice cry again?
Kevin Costner also stars in this film. Here's some clips from the trailer of Hidden Figures.
I had no idea they hired.
There are quite a few women working in the space program.
You know what we're doing here? We're putting a human on top of a missile, shooting into space, and it's never been done before. I need a mathematician that can look beyond the numbers. Math that doesn't yet exist. Before the Russians plant a flag on the damn moon.
Catherine's a gal for that. She can handle any numbers you put in front of her.
Don't embarrass me.
Let me ask you, if you were a white male, would you wish to be an engineer?
I wouldn't have to. I'd already be one.
Boom!
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This movie looks good.
My friend saw it, said it was amazing.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Cookie wants a piece of NASA. How amazing is Taraji P. Henson, by the way, who can run the gamut of Cookie to this character?
Yeah, she's a great actress.
She's brilliant. And lastly, there's the big movie of the weekend, the one I'm most excited about, Underworld!
Yay!
Right?
But this time, Blood Wars. Listen, I don't care how many damn Underworlds they make. I'm going to see every goddamn one of them.
Same. I thought you would be so different on this.
I love these stinking films so much.
I do too.
A large draw, of course, is the not only beautiful, but enormously compelling and just ass-kicking Kate Beckinsale.
She's, oh, is she in these movies?
She is.
She is.
Oh.
Yeah, she's the main vampire lady.
She plays Celine, the vampire who is at the crux, if you will, of the age-old battle between the vampires and the lichens.
I'm with Ralph. I've seen every one of these. She
lichens,
kicks ass.
Of course, are the werewolves. And they always bring in an interesting supporting cast, too. I mean, Bill Nighy was in a couple of them. I love him in that. Charles Dance is in this one. I know it's sort of a similar theme throughout each and every film, but they're so well done and so well produced and so much fun. And vampires and werewolves. Come on!
Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, did I mention
she in
Kate
this?
She's in this, yeah.
In this film, she tries to end the eternal war between the lichens and the vampires. And, excuse me, her daughter is also at risk this time around. And they're looking for her blood. They need her blood. Because it's Blood Wars. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Celine, the lichens are moving again. They have a new leader, Marius.
I'm finished with this war.
Well, it's not finished with you. He wants the blood of you and your daughter.
Even I don't know where she is. I need you to deliver a message. Tell your Marius I'm coming for him.
She is the purest of us all.
She is the key to the futures of lichens and vampires.
And when we have the blood of Celine and her daughter,
we will be invincible.
I will be more powerful than any vampire in this coven.
Come on, right?
Yeah.
She disappears and stuff, super fast. She gets extra powers. She goes to, like, the snow vampire who gives her extra powers. I don't know. I don't care. I'm watching this movie.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm excited,
snow
too.
Snow vampire.
All right.
You snow vampire.
I'm in.
I'm in, too. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
We're going to Las Vegas twice today on the program. We'll catch up with our friend RJ Bell talking about the NFL wildcard weekend in about 20 minutes or so. And the lovely Ashley Escada from CNET is going to be joining us from the floor of the Consumer Electronics Show. That's all on the way here on K-Rock.
How many of us would love to have a picture, or even better, a little video of Bean's face when he finally got to that place he was going and it was closed? I mean,
you're
honestly.
So mean.
What? I mean, how are you gonna come at me like
wouldn't
that?
Wouldn't you love that?
I mean, I'd like to see it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That was my point.
All right. I need a little help from the Kevin and Bean listeners here. If you've ever traveled a great distance to go someplace only to find out that it was closed, I want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067 because I think it will make me feel a little better about what happened to me a few days ago.
Well, I'm the only one that has a similar experience, and that is very unsettling for Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He doesn't want us to be the only ones because no one wants to be on my side.
It's a weird boat.
Yeah.
Now, you, if I recall correctly, Kevin, you drove to a Lakers game, right?
Yes, but it was Friday, and it was in the middle of rush hour, and it took me almost 2.5 hours to get there.
Yeah.
And then I pulled up to the Forum at the time, and the parking lot was completely empty. And I realized it was an away game.
Who knew?
And how'd that feel?
Terrible.
Aww.
Because, and you know, when you're on the way to something and you might be late,
it's
2 hours, you're like in and out of lanes and just trying to make up time everywhere you can. And then you get there and you see the parking lot and you go, what?
So that was a long drive back home, too, wasn't it?
Yes.
All right. Here's what happened to me. We had some time off over the holidays, and I didn't go anywhere. I thought I'd take advantage of my first Christmas time in New Orleans and just stay in the city and visit some restaurants and see some sights and just enjoy myself a little bit. But toward the end of vacation, I started to run out of things I needed and wanted to do, and I thought, hey, I got time for a little bit of a road trip. If I want to do something today, I can hit the road and go see a sight.
Sure.
And one of the places that I hadn't been in the great state of Louisiana is Faraday, which is 150 miles from New Orleans. Right up there.
Faraday, I've never heard of.
Faraday, Louisiana. It's okay. Right up there, almost in Mississippi. It's right, it's a few, just like 5 miles from Natchez, Mississippi.
What is that, like the world's largest frog's eggs?
No, they don't have that, although good pull. They have the
world's smallest what?
They have the birthplace and museum for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame entertainer Jerry Lee Lewis. Now, that's a name a lot of our listeners may not know, but he was very popular back in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. And he's you know, he's one of those guys back in the Sun Records days with Elvis Presley and with Johnny Cash and those kinds of guys. So Jerry Lee Lewis got a museum up there that's run by Jerry Lee's sister. And I'm
the sister who he married?
It's, no.
Oh, no. Okay.
No.
He married his...
A cousin, yes.
Okay.
Hey, B, so,
are you a pedophile?
No, it's not like that.
Okay, back to you.
I'm just a fan of his music. He's the Great Balls of Fire guy. He's the whole lot of shaking going on guy, right? So I think, hey, I've got the time. I'm going to get up bright and early, and I'm going to get in my little car, and I'm going to hit the road, and I'm heading to Faraday, Louisiana. It's only 150 miles away.
Okay.
So that's what I do. And I get up there, and it's around 12:30, something like that. And I, you know, I'm using my little GPS, and I got the address, and I find it, and I pull up out in front, and I walk up to the window, and there's a sign on the door that says "Closed from December 24th to January 3rd. Have a great vacation. See you in 2017."
Yes. So, how long did you spend? Was it Faraday? How long did you spend there before turning around and coming back?
There's not a lot to see in Faraday. It's a pretty tight. It's not like there's a bunch of other attractions. I'll just go to Six Flags while I'm here. It wasn't that kind
and
of deal.
And what was your excitement level on the ride home?
I couldn't believe it. And I knew, and one of the worst parts about it is that I knew that I was going to have to call my wife and explain to her what a dumbass I was. And I knew that I was going to be mocked.
Because she was going to say, hey, how about a phone call to them to make sure they're open?
Maybe.
No, but she certainly expected that I wouldn't have driven 150 miles without knowing for sure that they were open. Especially, look, it makes sense in retrospect. Over the holidays, there are a lot of businesses, particularly small businesses, that might take advantage of, hey, let's close down for a week or two. You know what I mean? It didn't occur to me that a museum would, but I learned my lesson.
I'm guessing that they didn't have a big rush on that museum.
That's possible.
Come on.
Let's try, squeeze in a couple calls. Jeff is in Granada Hills. He's on line 7. We're looking for a place. How long did it take you to get there? And then you found out it was closed. That's the topic here, briefly on the Kevin Beach Monk here. Jeff, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling, man. What happened?
Yeah, hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
We went just on spur of the moment. This was back in the 80s, not any time recently, but we decided to, on spur of the moment, go to Disneyland. Oh, we're going to get the Pirates of the Caribbean on for the day and drive through traffic in the morning and get to Disneyland, and they are closed.
When is Disneyland ever closed?
No, back in the 80s, you know, a long time ago, in the off-season.
You know what? I went.
Closed during the week.
They were?
That's hard to believe.
That reminds me. I did go to Disneyland one time where it was closed because it was at capacity.
Uh-huh.
They said, it's full. We can't accept any more people.
Wow.
So then you turn around and you just go home.
Yeah.
What are the chances of that?
Yeah,
wow.
And other times they will close it like for a special event. Like if there was like a Pirates of the Caribbean premiere, they close it for the public. But otherwise, they can't.
That's a bad surprise, though, if you drove a long way to get there, and especially if you got kids and they're excited about going. All right, Jeff, thanks for the call. Let's go to line 8, please. Pismo Beach, is that where Gage is listening to us?
Yes. Hey, Gage.
Where's Pismo Beach?
It's north.
It's in the Bay Area.
Okay. Well, thanks for streaming us. What's your story?
You know, I drove me and a couple of guys drove a little over 4.5 hours to go to HempCon in Pomona.
Four and a half hours.
We got there and there was nothing. There was nothing there. Empty parking lot, full of nug jugs. Just so disappointing.
And what was the reason?
We wanted to go to HempCon. What, you want to get
Why did you go? Why was it closed?
Why was it closed? Why was it not there?
Oh, I guess, I don't know. I guess we got the dates wrong because we were stoners.
That's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet.
All right, let's try Monique.
But at least he could just smoke a bowl and go home.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Be fine.
Let's go to Eastvale Line 4, speaking of going someplace on the wrong day.
All right, Monique, hi.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
Good, hi. Welcome.
Thank you.
So you drove someplace and it was closed?
Yeah. Well, no, we went to a concert on the wrong day. We went to go see Aerosmith at the Irvine Amphitheater a few years ago. And got off work early, got all dolled up, rushed over there, sat in traffic, and only to find out it's completely blacked out. We're like, oh, look at the ticket. I'm sure it was on a bunch of people just hiding, and no, we were like a month off.
A month? How are you a month off?
In my defense, I was not holding the tickets, my girlfriend was, so I'm sure if I was the one holding the tickets, that wouldn't have happened.
But Monique, I was thinking, you know, hopefully she went a day early.
A day, at most.
Early, because yeah. Then she could still go back the next night. If she was a day late, then she can't. A month.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Wow. You keep doing what you're doing.
106.7 K-Rock, it's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
By the way, in addition to talking football with RJ Bell coming up, we've got a special offer for the ladies if they want a free trip to Coachella. I think we've got some great information for them, right?
Excellent. I think it's one. Isn't it $1?
Oh, is it
$1?
Maybe
is that I read what it wrong. I'm going to cost you one single dollar.
I think it is $1, yeah.
You get so to go to Coachella in style with apparently Bean.
Who is using
a pseudonym.
That's true. But it is great news for the ladies who are bummed that Coachella's already sold out. We're going to tell you how you can go and in style. Coming up next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph is here on a Friday morning with the Showbiz Beat.
You know how, Kevin, you always mock me when I play my little game? My little game of using titles of songs of artists?
Well, I only mock you because...
As comedy, as a little joke?
I only mock you because, A, I hate puns and wordplay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, B, I'm not capable of doing either.
Ah, so you hate what you can't do.
Pretty much, in this case.
Yeah. Now that you've been exposed.
Yeah.
Well, I know you're not a fan of puns and using the titles of an artist's song in order to get comic effect.
Right.
Well, maybe you'll change your tune a little bit.
All right.
Well, I play for you two gentlemen having a little conversation on the omaze.com channel. You know, Omaze is the charity website that raises money for a lot of great charities by tying in events and experiences that you can have with celebrities.
Okay.
In this particular case, the charity is Red, the AIDS charity, and Bono, as you know, of U2, is a huge proponent. I believe he started that charity, if I'm not mistaken. And now he and The Edge have teamed up to offer a private U2 rehearsal for you and a friend, complete with airfare and a hotel, if you win this contest.
That'd be pretty cool.
Wow.
You think it would be cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be cool, too. It's like $10 or something. You donate, you get entered into a boat. It's basically a raffle. And then whoever wins gets to see you two privately in rehearsal, complete with airfare and hotel. Now, the two are trying to explain this. Bono is giving you all the details. The Edge, however, apparently has the same sense of humor that I do.
The Edge is the funny one in that group.
He's the funny man.
Yeah, he is.
So here's Bono and The Edge.
To raise money for Red and the fight against AIDS, we are teaming up with Omaze to give you the chance to win you two playing just for you.
Without you?
No, with me. I will be there.
I will follow.
Stop it. You and a friend will have exclusive access to watch in person a live band performance, which is...
Even better than the real thing.
Of course, we also fly you there and provide a room at a 4-star hotel because...
Sometimes you can't make it on your own.
Because if you're kind enough to give, we want to make this an experience.
You'll desire.
Remember, yes, and desire, fine. So click the link and go to omaze.com/U2. Every entry supports Red's fight for an AIDS-free generation. Any more jokes?
One.
One!
I'm stuck in a mind that you can't get out of.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was the sweetest
thing.
That
was pretty funny. I heard it. That was pretty funny when they did it.
When they did it, it was funny, wasn't it?
Here's the thing. If you only do it like once or twice, not as funny, but if you just keep it up and keep it up and keep it up, then it starts to become funny again.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Just saying. Now what do you have to say with your... poo-pooing.
Well, I told you the reason I don't like it is only because I can't play.
Yeah.
So I'd rather be able to play.
Do we want the leader of the free world to be so desperately insecure? Is that a positive or a negative?
Well, I don't think that's what you look for when you begin trying to find a president.
Well, maybe then you wouldn't appreciate Donald Trump's new tweets He took a break this morning from tweeting about making America great again and started to slam Arnold Schwarzenegger as the host of the new Celebrity Apprentice.
Of course he did.
Yeah. The show is now, you know, moving on without Trump. He's still an executive producer. He still gets a check from it.
Yeah, I was wondering if he makes money based on how well the show does, and that at least would indicate why he would care what the ratings were.
Well, he doesn't care what the ratings were. He cares that he can slam Arnold Schwarzenegger, who did not back him in the election.
Gotcha.
A very high-profile Republican who opted to very publicly say he was not going to support Donald Trump for president. So he takes a chance. He takes this opportunity because the ratings are not as good as when he was hosting.
Right.
To publicly slam Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That doesn't sound like Donald Trump to me.
Well, here's the thing. He's got nothing else going on. He's got no other concerns. I can see why he would take time out of his morning to slam the host of a reality TV show.
Sure.
Here's what he tweeted. Wow, the ratings are in, and Arnold Schwarzenegger got swamped or destroyed by comparison to the ratings machine, DJT.
He's referring to himself in the third person?
Yes.
By his initials?
Yes. Calling himself a ratings machine. He continues, so much for being a movie star. And that was season one compared to season 14. Now compare him to my season one. But who cares? He supported Kasich and Hillary. He said in his tweet.
Wow.
You guys.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
So
he's a man baby.
DJT has got a lot of thoughts on a lot of things.
I'm a really smart guy.
He's pretty thin skinned, that's for sure. He's just sitting back waiting to take shots at Arnold Schwarzenegger, a TV show host.
And why does he care?
He shouldn't. That's he shouldn't care.
This is crazy.
He should have, worst case scenario, he should have tweeted out, best of luck to Arnold on the new season or whatever. That he was moving on. He's the president now. He's got bigger and better fish to fry. Take the high road, right?
Isn't that
what you want?
That's the way it used to be done. No, I want him to keep tweeting about everything that comes to his mind.
Do you?
I love it. Look, Kevin votes for Cobbett.
I know, yes. Kevin is literally playing the fiddle while Rome burns. He really is. It's nuts.
Wrong.
Hey, tonight, Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage at the Improv on Melrose, Hollywood Babylon for 2017.
No. Wrong.
We'd love to have you come out and join us.
No.
It is at the Improv on Melrose. Me, Kevin Smith, and you tonight at 10 p.m. Go to improv.com to get your tickets to see Hollywood Babylon tonight. Today's celebrity birthday is Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean, 62 years old today.
I watched Love Actually again over the holidays because it's one of the best Christmas movies of all time. And he is brilliant in that film, isn't he?
Yeah, it's got a great little scene where he is very slowly wrapping a gift for Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman is just desperately trying to not get caught for buying a gift for his girlfriend, and Mr. Bean is not going to let that happen.
Norman Reedus is 48 years old today. Joey Lauren Adams, also 48. Eddie Redmayne turns 35. Kate McKinnon of SNL is 33. Alex Turner, Arctic Monkeys singer, is 31. And Irina Shayk celebrates her 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
NFL Wild Card Weekend is upon us this weekend. Let's go out to Las Vegas for our friend RJ Bell. He's the founder of the pregame.com, exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. Hit it, Steve.
'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Well, happy new year, my friend. How are you?
Oh, it's good to hear that song. Oh, man.
Right? Sure is. We missed you, man. How were your holidays? Everything good?
Oh, good. Yeah, I went back to Ohio, and let's just say it's always good to go back once a year, so when you come home, you realize why you left home.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, winter in Las Vegas is way better than winter in Ohio,
You should make that trip to Ohio in the summer.
You know, I hear you, but then it wouldn't reinforce do not want to go back.
That's a good point. I got you. So, RJ, big weekend for football fans. We're finally in the second part of the season. It's playoff time. How many games are there this week in the wild card weekend?
Four.
There are four, but we're only talking about three today?
Yeah,
that seems weak.
Well, you know,
gives us three picks every week since we started.
But there's only four games.
Right. You know, you think there'd be a little sympathy. Like, typically, RJ has 16 games to choose from, and he picks three. Now he's got four. But he's saying, why aren't you picking every game?
That's the way Bean is.
All right, why don't we start with the big dog of the weekend? This is the New York Giants, who are suddenly hot, and people are starting to take very seriously. They've got the Green Bay Packers. What say you, sir?
Yeah, we like the Giants here, +4.5, the big dog. This was fascinating. Right after Green Bay clinched the division on Sunday night, this game opened Giants a 7.5-point underdog. And I was watching the screen. That's what the pros call it. You see the screen, almost like the stock exchange. And they bet the pros, the Giants, limit bet after limit bet. It went from 7.5 to 7, 6.5, 6, 5.5, 5, all the way to 4.5 in 8 minutes.
No way. I've
never seen anything like it. It was one after the other.
And what caused that, do you think, RJ?
Well, on one hand, a lot of listeners might say, man, I like Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers, he's been red hot.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it seems like they are peaking at the right time.
Last seven games, Aaron Rodgers, 18 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. That's what's obvious. Here's what the pros saw. Cluster injuries for the secondary for the Packers. Their safeties, their cornerbacks, so many injuries. Guys coming off the practice squad. I mean, things you don't talk a lot about. Big problem for the Packers. And another advantage for the Giants, Coach Ben McAdoo, he coached 8 years in Green Bay, and that ended just a couple years ago. So he has real deep insight into Aaron Rodgers, into that entire team. And lastly, even casual fans know, Giants tend to heat up in the playoffs and do really well. When they're underdogs in the playoffs, the Giants have covered 9 straight against the Vegas number. They've won 7 straight of those games outright as underdogs. And even if that's just kind of luck or whatever, it adds to the confidence. You add it up, Giants +4.5. That's our playoff big dog of the week.
That is a fascinating take. All right, now let's move on to the best bet of the week. This is Raiders versus Texans in the battle of who's going to be quarterbacking. Last thing I heard is they were going to take a fan from each team out of the stands and let them be the QB. I don't know if that's been confirmed or not, but what do you say about this game?
You know, if they did, I'd probably be more inclined to watch.
Everybody gets a ticket when they walk in, and then they call a number, and you go right down on the field.
I tell you, this baby really shows you how important gambling is. For those who question it, who's going to watch this game if you're not betting on it?
Correct.
We're buying the Raiders cheap here. Best bet, Raiders +3.5. Third-string quarterback makes him cheap. Here's the question, though. How much better, really, is Brock Osweiler? He's actually was replaced by his backup, and he's a downgrade now compared to his backup. Unfortunately, his backup is hurt. Guys I talked to said this is the worst starting quarterback matchup in NFL playoff history.
Wow.
Now, what does that mean?
I'm not watching.
I'm watching.
Unless you bet on it.
Right.
Here's the thing. Low scoring. Right. The over-under in this game, the projected points, 36.5. There hasn't been a lower total in any NFL game since 2012. Now, what does that mean, low scoring? It means every point is valuable. You want to look to play the underdog in games like this because if there's less scoring, your points are, as we said, more valuable. And even when Houston wins, they don't tend to win by a lot. Only 3 teams in the NFL have not won games by double digits this year. The Browns, the Rams, the Texans.
All right. So you're going with Oakland.
Think about that list. And lastly, if you actually look at this game quickly, is that the recreational batters, they really tend to focus on the team's one-loss record, and Houston's is pretty good, but their strength of schedule is just so bad. This team's overrated. Best bet, we're going with the Raiders, +3.5.
All right, we're talking to RJ Bell, founder of pregame.com, live from Las Vegas right now on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday ahead of Wild Card Weekend. Now your beloved Pittsburgh Steelers. You've been a fan since you were a little kid, right, RJ?
Since I was 5 years old.
5 years old. They are back in the playoffs. They got the Miami Dolphins, who are strangers to the playoffs in the last decade or so. What do you think?
Yeah, the Steelers did win 4 Super Bowls in between the age of 5 and 10 for me. So it kind of was stuck. I was a fan no matter what.
Take it easy.
We are going with Pittsburgh here, laying double digits, -10. big strength of schedule difference. That's a big advantage for Pittsburgh. But double digits, we talk about that every week. I like to play the underdog, but in the playoffs, it's different. Here's why. One, the favorite is always motivated. In the regular season, if you're a big favorite, motivation can be a question. In the playoffs, it's not a question. Number two, there's less backdoor covers. Now, what's a backdoor cover? That's when the team that's losing will score late to cover the spread.
Ah.
But once you've lost the game, your season's over, there tends to be less backdoor covers. Double-digit favorites in the NFL have covered now five straight against the spread. You look at this Miami team, they got a backup quarterback, Matt Moore. They're not as good as their record even. They've actually been outgained by nearly 800 yards this season. That's number 29 in the NFL. Lastly, a southern warm weather team. This is going to be a cold game. 20 degrees is the projection.
Excellent.
Last 17 games, December or later for the Dolphins. They've only covered four of the 17. Not good with cold weather. Big game special. Steelers laying the big lumber.
All right, oh. So big game is Steelers wow. minus 10 over the Fins.
Oakland
plus 3.5.
We got it. Wow.
Things got really sexy right there.
He did. I am turned on.
And the big dog game was the Giants plus 4.5 over Green Bay. RJ, since we won't talk to you until after the college football championship, I have to ask, what do you do with a team like Alabama that is always so heavily favored in every game? Does it make a difference when you get down to this particular game?
Yeah, because you do have more recreational batters, and they like to bet the better team. So you'll see Alabama is favored by about a touchdown, which is pretty significant for the championship game. Here's what's fascinating, though, is this is the lowest spread Alabama would be against any team at any point in this season.
Wow.
So really, Clemson looks so good against Ohio State. This line's still a touchdown, Alabama favored, but it's about as low as you could have bet Alabama. So if you like Alabama, now's the time because the number's sort of low, right around a touchdown.
All right. Everything you need to know for the NFL playoffs, also college football title games, Super Bowl odds, and so much more you can get at pregame.com. Follow RJ on Twitter. Let him know how you do with his picks at RJ in Vegas. And the website again is pregame.com. Have a great week. We'll do it again next time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
All right, this is the greatest thing you're going to hear all day. This appeared yesterday. You can see it at krock.com. It is posted there. It is a Craigslist ad for somebody to go to Coachella with this man named Gordy. Gordy is 56 years old. He's from West Covina. By the way, Allie, what's your spidey sense telling you about the veracity of this post?
I don't think it's real, but a part of me wants it to be.
I want it to be real so bad. I really do. Gordy writes, okay, here's the deal. I have a VIP pass for weekend number two. I'm willing to give it away for free to the right person. I'm looking for a travel companion that can enjoy the festival with me and just have a good time. He goes on to explain that he recently left his job at the soup plantation where he decided to cash in his 401k, and now no more meetings. He's just going to have himself a great time. He's got a room at the Tropics Motor Motel in Indio Thursday through Monday. If you believe you can meet the below criteria, please shoot me an email and describe why you think you'd make the best fit. I appreciate your time, and I'm looking forward to find the right ones. And there's a long list of 20 items that he is requesting for the young lady that will accompany him for the trip to Coachella. Now, Kevin, you want to pick out some of your favorites?
Well, remember, he's 56. So the first one is must be a female between the ages of 19 and 25. So that's good.
Well, a 56-year-old can't be hanging out with a 28-year-old.
You have to be true. Comfortable traveling in a recreational vehicle, and he puts up a picture. I'm just an old beater that just looks like a piece of crap. Preferably have a playlist of various Coachella artists on your phone. He won't even provide music.
Wow.
You have to bring the soundtrack. That's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Must keep hands and feet moisturized at all times.
Well, that's just good grooming.
This is where it sort of starts getting creepy, though, right? I mean, fingernails and toenails must be nicely painted and harmonious with general color scheme of outfit. What the hell? Any person grooming, now this is even more gross. Any person grooming, such as toenail clipping, eyebrow plucking, or lipstick application, must be done in my presence.
Now, that's a fetish thing?
It's got to be.
Got to be, right?
Yeah.
At some point during the festival, you must tell me that you didn't know this would go this way, but you're actually having a really good time. And Allie, I'm going to let you read number 17.
At least twice during the festival, you must tell me in a playful manner that, quote, I am naughty. I mean,
come on.
This guy's the best.
This guy is the best.
I get that Coachella is the hottest ticket in America. I get that it sells out and you can't find them anywhere.
And it's expensive, too.
It is a very expensive weekend.
But
absolutely.
It's my favorite weekend of the year.
Is there any woman out there who would jump through these hoops in, just in order to see Beyonce? What do you guys think?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
You think he'll get somebody to reply to him?
Yes. I would think so because it would be really easy. It's wristbands. So
he gives you a
wristband and you just disappear. You ghost him.
Just
spend the time with someone else and you'll meet people out there, whatever. Mm-hmm. That would be simple.
We wanted to find out more about Gordy, and we asked Dave if he could track him down from information on the Craigslist post, and I believe we have him on the phone right now. Gordy, are you there, buddy?
Good morning. Hello.
Hi. Yes, it's Kevin and Bean. How are you, Gordy?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. So this post that we saw on Craigslist is for real. This is not an attempt at comedy. This isn't a joke.
No, of course it's real.
Well...
And by the way, I heard what you're saying. You can't just take it and just... take the wristband and ghost me, as you said.
Well, I mean, you can.
Well, no, because it's in right number 10. Being social is fine. No excessive fraternizing with other male festival goers or with other festival goers. So they just can't, you know, how's she going to get a return ride? Or the violation of this rule results in immediate removal from the Tropic Motor motel room privileges and even a return ride.
Right, but
you know this isn't a contract.
In essence, it is a social contract.
Are you ill, Gordy?
No, are you ill?
No, I'm fine. You sound like you might be a little congested or something.
You sound
there.
A little stuffed up.
I have a cleft palate, okay?
Okay.
Let me ask you a question.
Thanks for that. Thanks for mocking me.
Right. No, I'm not mocking you at all. Just making sure you're well, sir. That's all.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Why, if she's grooming such as toenail clipping, does she have to do that in your presence?
Because I like to monitor such things.
Oh, safety.
Safety.
Okay.
Yes.
Sure.
I'm the captain of the Chinook 3100, then I
That's
have to make
right.
sure that all the passengers are safe.
All right. Well, I'm glad you take your responsibility as the driver very seriously.
I do. Of course I do.
The young lady that you're looking for must not be into drugs. Pot is okay. You asked that she allow you to brush her hair once per day. That's not mandatory, but encouraged. Now, isn't that a little, I don't know, it just seems like a little intimate for you, a perfect stranger, to be brushing a woman's hair just because she wants to go to a concert with.
Listen, I don't know how you get intimate with the ladies, but it has nothing to do with brushing the hair, okay? It's just for the grooming sake.
Right. I'm just saying, Allie, help me out here.
Okay,
most
really what's
women...
important is that there's other rules that have been added to the list that you glossed over.
There's 20 rules already here.
I guess you didn't see my refreshed posting.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't know there was more.
Yeah, there's additionals.
Okay.
Each morning... a cup of instant coffee must be made by you for me from your bathwater.
Now, doesn't that cross a line, Gordy?
Hey, we're in a drought, okay?
Right.
Okay.
So reuse the water, I guess, huh?
Yeah. All right, so you just care
someone
about the
someone who understands me, finally.
I do not want that position.
At some point during the trip, you must sneak one of your hairs into my food.
Oh, man.
Gordy.
It'd be the hair of your choice, wherever you want to get it from.
Come on, Gordy.
Don't tell me where it is. Let it be a surprise.
We get it, Gordy.
Let it be a surprise. At some point during Coachella weekend, you must spank me with a rolled-up copy of the most current issue of Teen Vogue. You must at some point during the trip singe all the hair off my legs with a bug zapper.
Well, no, that's a little weird.
Why would you want that?
Electrolysis is expensive.
I see. All right.
And lastly, at some point during an encore, you must hold a Bic lighter up to my nipple, screaming, "Do it again!"
There's a lucky lady out there who's going to have the weekend of her life.
I'm single, lady.
Good luck with that. That is the way to wake up right there.
So much much good.
Am I right?
Yes.
I was having a, I was getting my hair cut a couple days ago, and I was having a conversation with the lady who was cutting my hair. She's a big music fan, too. We talk about that a lot. And I was asking her, why won't Rage Against the Machine get back together? Like, she knows, by the way.
Yeah, but she has the answer.
The more I started asking her and talking about it and working through it, the angrier I got that they can't just get it together and do what Rage Against the Machine does.
A listener sent us a Snapchat of him and Zach was smiling and good and was hanging out. So,
Zach,
he's always having a great time. He's always the nicest person in the world when you run into him. He just doesn't want to do Rage Against the Machine.
Why?
I need answers.
His song on Run the Jewels album is awesome. You know,
it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just are over it. I get that.
Yeah, but stop it.
I
know.
Stop being over it. It's upsetting. It's upsetting. I get that.
And the only hope I have is the band The Eagles famously had a terrible, terrible breakup. What? Why are you laughing?
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out how this will work itself out.
Because the Eagles had a terrible breakup where they hated each other and would never talk to each other again. And Don Henley famously said, we'll get together when hell freezes over. And fast forward like 15 years, boom, there's the Eagles. They got back together and they toured the world. They made a new album and the whole thing and everything worked out great. Time does have a way of healing wounds. But we don't know what the wound...
Don Felder.
Except for him. We don't know what the wound is, though, between the three guys and Zach.
I know.
You do?
Yeah. That man, Kevin Rader.
How dare you?
Kevin broke him up?
He just doesn't want to do it. He just doesn't. Remember when we saw them at the Troub, Dave?
Yes.
They played the Troubadour. Uh-huh. It was awesome.
Amazing. No, actually, I know, because I was outside the door.
Dave was outside.
Yeah.
You couldn't stand.
Yeah. Dave, I saw him at the Roxy.
Dave was outside the Troubadour with his ear against the wall.
Oh, yeah. But still good,
It was still awesome. I saw Zach's little head bouncing through it while the door was closing. It's like, oh, I saw it. I was here.
Is there no part of you guys that thinks that they need to go, look, we may not want to do it, but the world demands it. We're one of the greatest acts of all time. And
no.
People deserve it.
Zach De La Rocha owes you nothing. Stop it.
But
except new music with Rage Against the Machine.
That's all we're saying.
Yes.
That's all we're asking.
No,
I'm with you, Bean.
We're saying we would love it. He doesn't owe you anything.
Nothing.
But he should do it anyway.
Yes, we would love it.
Come on,
okay.
Come on, buddy.
All right. Well, that was a tangent I wasn't expecting to go on. But I just, when I hear Rage, I go, how has it been 25 years since their last record? That's all I'm saying. What are we doing here?
It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
Oh, watch me, baby.
Internet Roundup. Come on, y'all.
Internet Roundup. Oh, watch me, baby.
Internet Roundup.
Check it out, y'all.
Internet Roundup.
The current producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico, is in studio with us. Dave is the guy who puts the roundup together. It's actually a pretty good batch, Dave. I know you love this Rogue One video that's up. Tell us about it.
I love it, too.
Well, you know, when the first trailers came out, they had all these cool scenes in it, and then you see the movie, and they're not there.
I didn't realize that.
All these reshoots? Yeah.
I didn't realize that when I was watching the movie, but then when you go back and watch all of the scenes that were in the trailers leading up to it that aren't in the movie.
So there are 46 scenes that were in the trailers and promos and all that weren't in the movie. So this guy puts them all together. Boom. One video.
It's pretty cool.
It's about 4 minutes. It's awesome.
I love the part where Jyn Erso says something like, this is a rebellion. Well, I rebel. And I thought, why wouldn't they put that line in the movie? That was so cool.
How about when Forrest Whitaker tried to ruin the movie and was like, there's a rebellion.
Tried.
Honest Trailers is back with a very timely look at Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I think that one's worth watching. And if you're an Andrew Garfield fan, he's telling a story about how high he got when he went and spent his birthday at Disneyland. And it's also very funny. You can check all those out. News bloopers for 2016. And a couple we want to spotlight for you here. This one has been very funny. Maybe you've seen it already, but this is a little kid who's asking Alexa, you know, the little Amazon speaker that you talk into to get it to play things for you. And the kid is asking, does it sound to you like he's asking for a song called Dicker Dicker?
Or Digger Digger.
Or Digger Digger.
Yeah. I sure hope so.
Yeah. I'm unfamiliar with what his request is, but Alexa certainly knows what she thinks it is and comes back with a very funny response.
Play Dicker Dicker.
Bobby, can you talk to play wheels?
You want to hear a station for porn detective, porno ringtone, hot chick, amateur girl, quality sexy.
No.
Dildo ringtone.
Alexa, stop!
Ralph chimes in that the kid was asking for Tigger Tigger was the name of the song that the kid wanted. Now, how did that end up being a list of porn sites? I wonder.
I don't know, but I do know that none of those voice recognition things, none of them work with me.
Right.
Really?
I can't understand a word I say ever.
Well, Alexa's going to take over the world, and Ashley should know more about it when we talk to her later, but they're in so she's going to be in so many products. It's going to be crazy.
That's pretty sweet.
And the other thing
except
I was wondering.
For the little kid who's scared out of his mind.
His little face. He thinks he did something wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of sad the way all the adults started screaming because if they hadn't, the kid didn't know what any
but
of those
words meant.
But then
it went right back to funny.
Yeah, sure did. And I was also wondering if those things popped up because of previous searches and maybe mom needs to have a talk with dad. I was wondering if that happened.
It sounded like he was saying.
Interesting.
Okay. I am a huge fan of Billy on the Street. I think it is a very funny show.
He's
but
my favorite.
I am a I can only take him in small doses kind of guy.
I love him.
And his current video where he has John Oliver, the host of Last Week with John Oliver on HBO, he's walking around the streets and he's asking, specifically in this interview series, he's asking gays if they care about John Oliver. And John Oliver is right there with them to find out mostly no, they don't, but it's very funny.
Are you gay?
Yes.
Do you care about John Oliver?
No.
Do you care about John Oliver?
Who's John Oliver?
Oh, okay.
Show about the news on HBO.
He has a show.
Being on once a week really allows us to get into more depth.
Do you like Wendy Williams?
I love Wendy Williams.
She's the best.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Sir, are you gay?
Yes, I am.
Do you care about John Oliver?
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, okay. What about Wendy Williams?
Of course I do.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
What do you like about Wendy Williams?
Everything about her, she's real.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
But John Oliver.
I have no idea who that is.
Okay, thank you. Well, he's right here.
Hey. Oh, hey. Pack the week's news, put a comic take on it.
Oh, written out on...
No. No, he's not interested! Do you care about John Oliver?
I know John...
Oh, that's you!
Yeah, that's John Oliver!
Hey! A gay person cares about you!
Well, he didn't say that yet.
Well, his girlfriend certainly do.
Hi, I'm his homo honey. Yes.
Okay, oh, is that what they're calling him now?
My my chica.
Okay.
Why should I care about...
We're just wanted to see if gay people care about John Oliver.
Who's John Oliver?
Thank you very much.
He's making dreams come true. Billy on the Street.
What's it like for John Oliver, who's so smart and works so hard to put on such a great show,
yeah,
and then to go out on the street with Billy and realize that really Wendy Williams is who the people love?
That was so funny. And they interview so many people that have no idea who he is, even though he's standing right there.
Yes.
And they love Wendy Williams.
Yes.
How you do?
Because she's so real.
Yeah.
And finally, Dave, what's the deal with the guy who did the Purple Rain Smash Mouth All-Star mashup? Is this a series of videos that he does? He
John
do a lot of these?
Sudano is his name, and all he does is take the biggest hits and sings the Smash Mouth All Stars
to the melody of those.
Oh, yes, those songs,
those lyrics to every song that exists.
I think we need to take a dip into all his videos.
And he's a big fella.
Oh, he sure is.
And he's never wearing a shirt.
He sure is.
He's a good singer too.
So if you want to see an angry Samoan singing Prince and Smash Mouth in a mashup, this is what that would sound like.
Purple rain starts coming and it don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Purple rain, you're an all-star.
Okay.
Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star.
I don't.
Yes, you do.
I love this guy because why?
Yeah, why? Exactly, why?
He has so many songs that are all awesome.
I love him, and why?
So we live in a world where we can't have Rage Against the Machine, but we can have this guy
right?
singing Smash Mouth songs to everything.
Correct.
KRock.com or KevinDeBean.com. It's a brand new Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup. Come on, y'all. Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
6.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Well, it's finally here. They've introduced a Wi-Fi enabled hairbrush at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas.
Thank God.
So we finally got that now.
Right.
The hairbrushes we've been using have not been capable enough, apparently. So we'll talk about that and all the other new tech on the floor at CES with our friend Ashley Escada from CNET coming up right after the top of the hour. Kate Beckinsale next hour as well, you guys.
Yeah.
First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Tonight at the Improv on Melrose, Hollywood Babylon, the first day of 2017. Smith and I are hitting the stage tonight at 10 p.m. We'd love to have you, me, and writer-director, raconteur Kevin Smith hanging out tonight at 10 p.m. Love to see you there. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets. Jerry Lewis will not be attending.
No.
Or will he?
Ah.
Maybe I will be there to say a few things about things and people.
Why?
It's on.
What's on?
I told you last hour, Donald Trump spent this morning tweeting about the failure of Arnold Schwarzenegger as host for The Apprentice, Celebrity Apprentice show. The new Celebrity Apprentice did not do great in the ratings, and it seems like Donald Trump took a lot of glee in that, tweeting about it this morning. Let me read you those tweets again. Wow, the ratings are in, and Arnold Schwarzenegger got swamped. Is that a Drain the Swamp reference?
I don't know what that reference is.
Or destroyed, in parentheses, by comparison to the ratings machine, DJT, he said, referring to himself in the third person via his initials.
Love that.
Which is the only way you can make referring to yourself in the third person douchier is to refer to yourself in the third person by your own initials.
Yeah.
So much for being a movie star. And that was season one compared to season 14. Now compare him to my season one. But who cares? He supported Kasich and Hillary.
Oh, so he got what was coming to him.
Yeah. So,
you guys think he'll be angry every day that he's the president at the people who did not vote for him or support him?
Oh, yeah.
3 years from now, you think he'll still be calling him out on Twitter?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
He's not a guy who lets grudges go.
So, Arnold Schwarzenegger responded via Twitter this morning.
Okay.
With the tweet saying, "There is nothing more important than the people's work, Donald. I wish you all the best, and I hope you'll work for all of the American people as aggressively as you worked for your ratings." Boom!
That's a pretty good response.
Drop the mic. Or the tweet.
That's a pretty good response.
It's classy. It's succinct.
Yep.
Can we get Arnold to be president? Can we switch? Can we swap? Can we swap? Mac, can we have NBC swap out?
After
with
you host
the
that
government?
Show, you move on to be the president. That's how it works.
Yeah. Then he sent him another tweet saying, "Please study this quote from Lincoln's inaugural, Donald Trump. It inspired me every day I was governor. I hope it inspires you." And it is a quote from President Abraham Lincoln where he talks about how he wants to be the president of all the people after the Civil War, how he was a president for both the North and the South, and about bringing the country together. So a very classy response from the governator.
I like how he forces people on the show to call him the governor.
Yeah, you will call me the governor, John Lovitz.
Okay, you're the governor.
I think that's his hook, because he's not really the president of anything. He's not really the CEO or chairman of any business.
Yeah, I guess.
So he gets to be the power he wields over them is as the governator.
And you do get that term for life attached to your name. It's widely considered you're still allowed to be called the governor, right?
Sure.
I guess, yeah.
It's odd that you demand it, though, that's all.
Yes, it is.
It is odd.
But it's also odd that it's sort of the lesser of all his achievements.
Yeah.
When you think of Arnold Schwarzenegger, still governor doesn't spring to mind first thing.
Yeah, you'd think movie star.
You think movie star, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of tweets real quickly, I just can't stop laughing about the Yahoo Finance tweet that went out last night.
I did not see that
story.
Unfortunate.
The story about Donald Trump. Yeah, I'll let you read that, Kevin, if you want to read it on the air.
I did not see that.
It talks about how Trump wants a much bigger Navy.
Okay. Trump wants a much...
What? Read it.
No, stop,
read the tweet.
Stop.
Don't. Nope.
Come on, read the tweet.
Kevin, don't.
He wants a much bigger Navy, but apparently there was a typo.
Well, I mean, he doesn't use the letter B.
No, he didn't. No.
In bigger.
Apparently the an N got swapped out for the B, and Yahoo Finance, who put the tweet out, did not catch it.
Oops.
And I don't think Trump wants that kind of Navy anyway, really.
How do you not catch it for 23 minutes, 5,000 retweets? No one's monitoring that page.
Allie's conspiracy theory.
I'm just saying.
They meant it?
I don't think they meant
Yahoo
it.
Yahoo Finance is a big racist
No,
group.
Absolutely not. I think it was a legitimate mistake, but then they're like, well, look at all these retweets. Look at all these people on our Twitter right now. Let's leave it up for a few minutes.
Really?
Yeah, 23 minutes. Come on.
But it's Yahoo Finance.
Maybe they got a lot going on at Yahoo. They're not constantly reading their own tweets.
Maybe they should start now.
You're Yahoo.
No, that's okay. A good point.
Good yeah.
point. Can I read an email real quick? Because this is amazing how it dovetailed into it. Sure. This comes from one of our favorite listeners, Edwin, who sent this along, and I just think it's a...
He's funnier than all of us.
He absolutely is. And he said, Dear Ralph, I think it's time for a spinoff of the Kevin and Bean Show, the Ally McKay Mysteries, where mm-hmm. she investigates conspiracy theories.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
It could be an animated show. Think of it as a cross between Scooby-Doo and Mythbusters.
I like it.
The first episode, Allie blows the lid off the video with the kid trapped underneath his dresser. Mm-hmm. She investigates, and she finds out it wasn't a 2-year-old child in the video at all. She captures the supposed child, pulls off his mask, and it turns out to be Brad Williams. It was all a scam to promote old man Jenkins and his security company via a viral video. With his plot foiled, Brad says, and I would have gotten away for it. Got away with it. Wasn't for you meddling DJs. Can't wait for this to be on Saturday mornings, Edwin. Ally McKay Mysteries, I'm telling you.
He's executive producer now. I'm in, Edwin.
She does see a conspiracy in everything.
She's got a lot of
just
things.
Just saying. In you everything. Leave it up for 20. You get all. You're obviously seeing how active that tweet is.
I don't know that you are.
Yeah.
I don't know if Yahoo Finance is right. monitoring their Twitter feed all that closely.
I think they are.
Okay.
All right. I think if we really think.
You think he's on heroin, too? Maybe the guy's running is on heroin?
Possibly.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Rowan Atkinson is 62 years old today. Norman Reedus is 48, as is Joey Lauren Adams, star of Chasing Amy. Speaking of my buddy Kevin Smith, 48 years old today. Eddie Redmayne is 35. Kate McKinnon, 33 years old. Alex Turner from the Arctic Monkeys is 31 years old. And model Irina Shayk celebrates her 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Opening up yesterday in Las Vegas was the Consumer Electronics Show for 2017. It's going on through the weekend. If I remember correctly, Kevin, from the past, you can't just show up no matter how much you want to see this stuff. It's not open to the public, right?
No, it's for professionals.
You got to be fancy schmancy and invited, like our friend Ashley Esqueda, the senior editor of CNET at CNET.com. Hey, Ashley, how are you? Good morning.
Oh, I don't feel fancy right now. I mean, it's been exhausting.
Dave tells me you had quite a night last night. What was going on?
We had our big CNET CES party, and it was at Brooklyn Bowl, which is a relatively small venue, and Blink-182 was our headliner.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Even at the very back of the room, you were about 150 feet away from them, which was pretty magical.
That's fantastic.
Fun. That's awesome. All right. Every year we look to what's going on at CES and we think, what's the breakout technology? What's the big thing? And the reports that I'm seeing on TV is there seems to be a lot about voice controlled equipment this year. Is Alexa like what everybody's talking about?
Yeah, it feels like this is the year of Alexa. So maybe last year was the year of kind of VR, AR, and wearables was the year before that. This is definitely the year of voice assistants. So Alexa, specifically, which is Amazon's voice-controlled assistant, is in a lot of products this year. I mean, we're seeing Alexa in stoves, in refrigerators. We're seeing Alexa in your standard, little speakers and all sorts of different smaller appliances. And then we're also seeing Alexa in robots. And we're seeing Alexa in television, where you're going to be able to ask Alexa, to turn to a specific input or whatever. And then also we're seeing Alexa in the new Dish has a new product, a new set-top box, where you're able to say, hey, Alexa, like, record The Walking Dead for me, and then it'll just do it.
Okay. Now, I guess I get why that makes sense. But why do I need Alexa on my refrigerator or on my washing machine?
So I've thought a lot about this, and the one for the stove makes me think of Wedding Crashers when they go see Will Ferrell, and he's like screaming at his mom,
right?
Mom, where's the meatloaf? Like, I feel like I'm going to be yelling, Alexa, where's the meatloaf at my stove? But I think for the refrigerator, it actually makes a little bit of sense if you have access to Amazon Fresh, if you're a subscriber there, because let's say you look in your fridge. There's actually, oh, God, this is so ridiculous, so excessive. There's an LG refrigerator with a 29-inch touchscreen on it, but if you knock on it, it becomes a clear screen, and you can see inside your refrigerator. And so let's say you're out of something. You're out of milk. And you can say, Alexa, I order milk. And then it will come to your house within an hour because of Amazon Fresh.
Wow. Okay.
So I can see that being a really useful ability. But Amazon Fresh is expensive. It's a subscription service that you pay for extra on top of Amazon Prime. So so it's definitely not – I think it's definitely a little excessive. But, you know, what is the meaning of excess but CES? Like every time you come to CES, there's just really absurd, excessive, outrageous products that are, you know – you're probably never going to have in your house, but
they're still fun to see. This is like the
very similar.
This is like the people who go and they want to see the $25,000 TV or something like that. It's just we make this technology because we can, not because we need to, right?
Exactly, and that's why I come to CES. I want to see the $25,000 TV, which I did in fact see yesterday.
Oh, what? Now the only TVs that I saw, the one that I saw that looked fascinating to me was thinner than an iPhone. I saw that TV on the news, and then I also saw another one that when you turn it off, you can see through it. It's like a plate of glass.
Yeah, so the one that I'm talking about is the thin one. So the LG W7, they're calling it a wallpaper TV, and that's because it is 1/10 of an inch thick.
Oh my God!
One tenth of an inch.
Yeah. How is that possible?
The entire screen is 1/10 of an inch thick, and you actually mount it to your wall with a magnet-based mounting bracket.
Did you say magnets?
It's super flat. Yeah, magnets. It's only 18 pounds. The 65-inch version of this TV is only 18 pounds. That's as much as my tiny dog.
Wow!
And so how they've done that is it's a super thin screen. And then there's a very flat, thin cable that comes down from the bottom of the screen, and it connects to a sound bar that is also all of your inputs. So you would plug in your set-top boxes and things to the sound bar that's underneath the television. And this television is just, I mean, it's gorgeous. It's a beautiful screen. It's unbelievable to look at in person. They have it spinning on a glass plate. And when it turns sideways, it is almost completely imperceptible. It just looks like floating in midair. It's just
wow.
The strangest thing.
Do you get three or four of those because you work at CNET?
Could you throw one our way,
or how does that work?
They just fall off the back of the truck.
Okay,
right,
good.
In front of our booth at the end of the
excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
These TVs are saying, I think the 65-inch is going to be around $10,000, and the 77-inch will be between $20,000 and $25,000. But they are not concept products, which is something that we see a lot here at CES, things that never actually make it to production, but something similar does. And
oh,
this is actually a TV that is shipping in March.
Is that right? Two months, which is pretty
rare for things that we see at CES.
Yeah, right. Exactly. A lot of times they're a year or more out. Ashley, are we still looking at 4K as being the upper-end TV, or are they beyond that now?
We've seen 8K TVs at CES, but I don't think there's really the content is not there. Like, you're not going to find, even now it's hard to find just 4K content, especially streaming, and bandwidth doesn't really allow for streaming 8K content. So I think 4K is the TV. The big thing this year is HDR, which, you know, is an addition to TVs. I mean, if you're looking to upgrade your TV, get HDR. It's really worth it. It makes all of your images look way better. There's just a lot more color dynamic.
Is that a reference to photography, HDR and photography, which is like they take two different photos and put them together so that it looks hyper-realistic?
It's very similar to that. The way it works with TVs is a little bit different as opposed to sandwiching together, your highest exposure and your lowest exposure images. It's similar to that, but they do that with all of their LED technology. So,
interesting.
You'll see like a lot of things that'll say like quantum dots or QLED, which is what Samsung is calling their TVs, where it'll have more, tighter packed LED arrays, and that way you get a bigger color range.
And so some of those are falling off trucks as well?
Yeah, I'm putting them on my suitcase.
Okay, good. Excellent. This is the voice of our friend Ashley Escada, senior editor at CNET, CNET.com. We're talking to her about Las Vegas's CES, which is going on right now, the Consumer Electronics Show. All right, Ashley, I held my tongue, and now we're at that point where I have to ask, as I do every year, what's new in sex robots?
Listen, I come to CES really to see the TVs, number one, but two, to find you a sex robot.
Thank you.
And I can tell you that, unfortunately, this year I have not yet found one.
What? Oh, what is the problem? Get on it, science.
Yeah, science. I mean, what are you doing?
I mean, there's VR porn, which is close.
Porn. That's we're virtual reality, though. I'm looking for reality. What about? Aren't there a lot of robots, a lot of electronic assistants that that they're developing or talking about this year too?
Yeah, we're finally starting to see a lot of sort of, I guess I would call them home companion robots. They're not quite made to. It's not a Rosie the robot. She's not going to do your laundry and make you dinner yet, which is a bummer for me. But there is a really cute little robot called Curry that's made by a company called Mayfield Robotics. And this is a little robot that can patrol your house. It uses lasers to get around your home to figure out, you know, what obstacles to avoid and things like that. And it will take video, so it can, like, basically be a little security monitor for your house.
Are those going to be our overlords at some point?
Yeah, Curry's going to murder someone.
Are they taking over?
Yeah. Well, it always makes me laugh because, you know, they make these robots with smiling faces, and there's one from LG that actually has a screen face, and so it changes its expressions. Like, it has little eyes, little screen eyes. And
yeah.
It's so cute. But I'm like, yeah, they want you to trust them. Yep. That's what they want.
They gather information with Alexa, and then the robots take over.
Exactly.
That's what's going to happen.
So some of them are Alexa. They have Alexa integration in them. And I could have really used Curry the other night, if you check my Instagram, because I caught my dog at home peeing on my couch. it would have been nice to yell at him. Like, that would have been great.
All right. When can we look for your reports on CNET? What's the schedule like for this week?
Today and tomorrow at 1 p.m., I have a stage show live at the show with my cohort, Bridget Carey. And today we're interviewing the CEO of Hyperloop.
Wow. Fun. That's the Hyperloop that's not coming to California, right?
Hyperloop 1 is the one that I believe is based in Southern California. So we are going to interview him. And then tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we have Aisha Tyler on the show.
We love her.
She's a CES ambassador for this year, so she's going to stop by and talk to us about all the fun tech that she's liked at CES. And then we also have like a gadget fight. And today we are arguing over whether you would rather yell at your fridge or your stove with Alexa.
All right.
So,
all
very,
right.
Very relevant conversation.
Go to CNET.com and follow Ashley on Twitter at her name, Ashley Escada. Great to have you back on, my dear. Happy New Year to you. Have fun in Las Vegas. We'll see you soon.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
We are hearing from multiple listeners, Allie, who really had a tough time with that last segment because we kept saying the word Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, this one from Facebook, Albert writes in, damn it, I'm listening to your show on my Echo Dot, and every time you say Alexa, it stops the playback.
Oh, no.
So that's the problem, I guess, with having a radio on when you got some voice-activated technology. So I guess with what we were talking with Ashley Escada about, you're going to have to be careful, as we could say, hey, order some milk for the fridge, and boom, all of a sudden, everybody who's hooked up will get milk in their fridge.
Man, we could screw everybody
up. We really could.
This is great.
So anyway, Alexa, turn off.
Well done.
You just turned off the radio show.
Sorry.
Yeah. That may not be what you wanted.
No. Let's work on that.
Bobice.
Yes.
Did he do something else?
Bobice.
We talked about Bobice yesterday, his little crying temper tantrum that he threw. He was interviewed on the news about an incident that he says, it sounded to me like he was saying it scarred him for life because it was the most racist and horrific thing that had ever happened to him. When a Popeye's Fried Chicken employee referred to him as a white boy. And he wept and wept and wept. We played a little bit of this tape yesterday. Here's a recap if you missed it.
Let me know when you want me to stop the tape because it's all magic.
America, you should be ashamed.
Former American Idol contestant Bo Bice is claiming that he was the victim of racism and he wants justice. Bice alleges that a black Popeye's employee at the Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport targeted him with a racially insensitive comment.
One of the three young ladies behind the corner said, he's already got his, that white boy over there.
Stunned to be on the receiving end of what he calls racism, Bice says the incident was shocking. Bice believes there's an unfair double standard facing him and other white people.
If the tables had been turned and I had used something and been as insensitive as to say something like that.
Right.
You're talking about that I would be boycotted.
Right.
There would be people not buying my albums. There would be people coming and picking in at my shows.
He writes that one of the employees even made fun of his name, calling him Bobo.
By the way, do any of us want to live in a world where people aren't buying Bo Bice albums?
Right. People are actually going to have to start buying them to stop.
That's right. So we were giving some thought to this after the show yesterday. And, you know, look, I think he's overreacting. I don't think there was any racist intent in him being referred to
as this is stupid beyond words to
the white boy. But I do understand that it is difficult sometimes for people to know what's racist and what's not, and to talk about race in a way that is not offensive to others. Fortunately, we have a resource available to us that we are happy to be able to go to from time to time, and it's our friend Bruce Endicott, who's on the phone from the organization Coffee. Bruce, welcome back, sir. Happy New Year.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you? Happy New Year.
We're doing great. And Coffee, again, for listeners who haven't heard you on the show before, stands for?
It's the Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
Okay.
And it is a multicultural, multi-religion, multi-sex organization that tries desperately to bridge the space between us all and to help us all understand each other.
Wow, so you're the perfect spokesman for this story.
I like to think so. We've been following this story very carefully.
Now, did Bo Bice overreact, or did he have a legitimate complaint being referred to by his race? Was that unnecessary for that employee to point out that he was white?
He didn't overreact at all. Let's face it.
What?
I mean, you have to think about, first of all, to understand his pain. And being a Caucasian myself, I can understand what he's going through. We here at Coffee are made up largely of Caucasian Protestants, so we have an in-depth vision on his pain.
Okay. There's a lot of pain in being a white man in America these days?
So difficult. I mean, first of all, you have to consider the historical significance behind being called boy as a white man. That means that he is young. And what could be more painful than that, really? Historically, right. When a white person's been called boy, it means he is young.
So there are no racial implications, though?
Okay. No. That's ridiculous.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
Just making sure.
And then white, to be called white,
mm-hmm.
He's not white. He has some pigment in his skin. I've seen him on American Idol.
Okay, but I mean,
he's Caucasian, thank you.
So I mean, he is a white guy, though.
Being called white.
I mean, it's sort of the same as Caucasian.
In an airport.
Right.
And having everyone look at you and expecting to see powder.
No. It's a good reference.
But they don't. They see just Bo Bice there.
I think it's
the pain.
Right? Colloquial version of Caucasian, just to say white, just like you say black instead of African American. They mean the same thing.
Oh, I see. So you can just say whatever you want about the white man. That's
no, I'm just saying I don't think white is an insult is what I'm saying.
I think you need to recognize that Caucasians in this country will no longer be put down by the Popeye employees of the world, frankly.
You think that's a big problem, do you?
I do.
Okay.
And if anything, I think this most recent election, I mean, we have elected a white man as president, okay?
Right.
And I think that is white people in America saying no. No longer will the whites be disadvantaged. We're going to. I don't care how ill-qualified he is. We are going to nominate and elect a white man to be president.
Okay, but in our history,
finally,
Bruce,
a white man can represent this.
I hate to disagree, but in our history, we have elected only white presidents, with just the one exception of Barack Obama.
Right, but there was that other guy for a minute, right?
No, I'm not sure.
That other guy for a minute.
Obama, the one you said.
Yeah.
Yes. Except it was two terms.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
8 years.
Don't have to tell me.
Did it seem long to you, did it, Bruce?
Oh, boy. So Bo Bice, he cried.
He did cry.
Because there's pain there.
Yeah.
And I think we need all to understand each other that if you talk to a white person and call him a boy and call him white, you might as well just... I got nothing. It's really ridiculous.
There's really nothing there, right?
Really. He's a douchebag.
I never have heard more agreement on the Kevin and Bean show than when Ralph made the statement during the movie beat that he doesn't care how many of these Underworld movies they make. He's going to go to all of them. And yeah. Kevin, you were right there with him. And
I have
Dave
been to
put
all
his
of them.
Hand up. And Chip said the same thing.
Yep, I have been to all of them, and I will be to all of the future ones. And I hope there are about 15 more, although I'm getting the idea there aren't.
Underworld Blood Wars is in theaters everywhere today. It is long awaited. We are so excited to welcome back Kate Beckinsale of the Kevin and Bean show. We don't get to talk to her very often, but when we do, it's always a lot of fun. Kate, welcome back and Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year. Thanks for having me. Very well, thank you.
It's our pleasure. I hope you heard what we were saying. Is you got a whole room of people here who are going to make time to go see the movie this weekend, and I guess that's why you keep making. Is it people keep coming? Do you love it as much as the fans seem to?
I love the fans how much they love it. We have the best fans, and the nice thing is because we're not based on a comic book or a story, it's always a kind of original movie that nobody really knows what's going to be in it each time. So I think it's exciting for all of us.
Now, I'm getting the idea from the trailer that perhaps this series is not going to continue.
I mean, I have felt it wasn't going to continue each time. I always think I'm doing one movie, and now here I am on number five. So I'm the worst person to ask that.
Okay.
I never know.
Is there any part of you, because you get to do so many different kinds of movies, and this has to be one of the hardest things you do all year long is make an Underworld movie, is there any part of you that goes, please no, don't come to me and say let's make another one, because it's a lot of work?
I mean, yeah, especially when it's quite close. I mean, the funny thing is we've left it quite a few years in between, and I think it's a bit like having a baby, you know, when you wear that corset. You know, the day you're wearing it, you're kind of complaining and sort of screaming a bit. But then, you know, a few weeks go by, and you're like, oh, it's fine. You don't remember it properly. It's a bit like getting back.
And then you got to go back and you got to shoot only at night, it seems like, for years and years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be sort of a bummer, no?
I mean, I'm quite a dark person, so it suits me rather well. I might actually be part vampire for that.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
What sorts of things do they not let you do, Kate, when you are Celine on set? I'm sure that they're very protective of you. Like, do you really get to ride the motorcycles? Do you really get to shoot the guns? Do you really get to jump building to building?
Do you really get to disappear?
Yeah, I get to do most of those things, apart from the ones that involve operating a vehicle, because I'm actually not insurable for that, because I don't have a license. So
what?
Yeah, they will happily push me off a building, but unfortunately I'm not insured to drive a car.
Wait, you don't have a driver's license?
Again, it's become quite peculiar.
That's so weird. Is that because you mostly spend time? Is that because you're mostly in London or New York, where you kind of don't need one?
No, I live in Los Angeles.
What is happening? Are we going to see you hitchhiking down Sunset Boulevard? How do you get around?
Basically, I mean, just screaming, "Help me!" into a bullhorn.
What's happening? How does anyone live in Los Angeles without a driver's license that can have one?
Here's what's quite cunning. I had a baby rather young, and that has suddenly borne fruit in that she has a driver's license.
So I see.
A long way.
She drives you everywhere you want to go. That's pretty sweet.
That's awesome.
For 16 years.
She's quite busy, so she doesn't necessarily drive me everywhere I want to go, but I keep telling her she's found her purpose. Found her purpose in life.
Yeah. But for 16 years, you were basically a shut-in. You didn't go anywhere.
Basically, scratching it myself, desperately wishing I had food in the refrigerator. Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, that's a little strange. It just is.
It is.
Were you at all afraid of getting a license, or you just never had any interest? What happened?
I mean, when people were getting their licenses, I was living in London and then New York and then Paris, and none of those places were really conducive to driving. So, and then I started thinking about having lessons. I was having them, but then I had a baby, and I kept thinking, my first few trips out in the car with a baby in the back seat seemed such a terrible idea. So
right.
I didn't really send off for the license. And then, you know, life happens, and you keep going, I'm going to get lessons, then you get a movie somewhere in Prague.
Okay.
And that's really been the case. That's kind of what it is. So, now I feel really silly about it.
I mean, we're not trying to mock you.
Anyway, I feel silly about it. So I'm gonna have to.
You don't live in Los Angeles and not have a license. That just seems counterintuitive.
It's mostly unworkable, right? This is the voice of Kate Beckinsale here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about, among other things, her new film in theaters everywhere today called Underworld Blood Wars, and it looks awesome, like they all are. And I have to say, we've so enjoyed seeing the publicity that you've been doing surrounding this movie and, you know, seeing you on Good Morning America and on The Colbert Show, and I feel like I've learned so much about you this week. Like, I had no idea until this week that you speak fluent Russian. And I'm so fascinated with why you chose Russian of all the languages in the world to learn, Kate.
They offered it at my school, so I think we were in middle school when you were allowed to choose whether you did that. So I probably was about 14 when I started doing it. And I really liked it. I liked the literature that, you know, that I could then start studying, you know, in its own language. And I sort of kept going all the way through high school. And then I went actually off and did it at university as well. So I don't know. Another one of those things I thought, oh, that might be cool. And it actually is.
I can't even speak English.
are there any ways, opportunities for you to use Russian, though? I mean, with the addition of being able to read a book in Russian, how often do you get to speak it?
Mainly in Uber vehicles.
Because in Uber.
In Ubers. Yeah.
Well, I don't know... I don't know if you're an American citizen or not, Kate, but I feel like there must be a job for you in the Trump administration. I feel like there must be some way that we can use you to, you know, over the next 4 years.
Oh, dear. Can't I just do what I'm doing? I still have to do what I'm doing.
I think you could probably just keep doing what you're doing.
All right, fair enough.
You're probably fine. Yeah.
All right, before we have to say goodbye, what do you want people to know about Underworld Blood Wars that they haven't already gotten from seeing the trailer?
I don't know, because I think the trailer's pretty good. And I think it's just kind of, these are fairly grim times. Everyone's walking around feeling really stressed and worried. And Underworld 5, which is obviously this one, Blood Wars, is so fast-paced and kind of fun and full of action. It's just a nice way to take like an hour and a half of your brain worrying about things off and have a kind of a thrill ride. And
I love that.
It's really got a purpose.
And if I could give another compliment that maybe you don't have anything to do with, the music that they choose in Underworld is always great.
Oh, it gets you going when you're beating up some werewolves.
All right, movies doing what movies do best, which is give you a great time at the theater. It's in theaters everywhere this week, Underworld Blood Wars. It's been far too long since we had the chance to have you on, Kate, but we really appreciate the time. Thanks so much and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy
New Year to you, too. Lovely talking to you. Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:55.
Our friend Michael Schneider in studio with us coming up after the top of the hour. He's the executive editor of IndieWire. It's a big weekend here in Hollywood, you know, with the 74th annual Golden Globe Awards on Sunday night. So we'll talk to Michael about that. Rob is here now with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Let me know those turn out, will you? Golden Globes?
Not watching.
Not watching?
No, I'm out.
Is this because of the host, Jim McCallum?
I can't. Yeah. I just can't.
The host hurts me.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Fallon is brutal for
me.
Yeah,
agreed.
If Donald Glover wasn't up for stuff, I probably wouldn't watch, but I will watch just for him. Is that weird?
No, I suppose. If you got a favorite in the race, I guess you want to see if that person wins.
I feel what you do is DVR it, though.
Right.
You start like an hour later.
Well, the next day, there's going to be clips of everybody's acceptance speeches or stuff, so.
True.
I mean, there's ways
to avoid Fallon?
To cushion yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bubble wrap yourself from the Fallonator.
Somebody should edit it up and offer a Fallon-free version.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That'd be good?
Did you see that, speaking of which, there's a company in Utah, I think it is, that is being sued by the film industry because they're taking movies and they're editing out all the sex and all the profanity and all the violence into family-friendly versions of those movies.
How do they... Wow.
How crappy must those be?
Those are terrible movies,
it's like,
then.
It's like Netflix, but they just neuter all the films and they just send it to you on a burnt DVD, and you get to watch it in your home without offending God.
That seems illegal for so many reasons.
It is.
And immoral.
And they're in big, big trouble. And they're being sued by, basically, movies. the president
movies
of movies. The president of movies is suing them. And they're fighting back, saying they have a right to...
Well, imagine Captain America Civil War with no fight scenes in them. I mean, what's the...
I think violence is the last to go.
Violence is fine, Kevin. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said violence as well.
Language and sex.
Yeah. Anything severe,
sex, okay.
Anything severe, blood, gore, that kind of stuff.
I gotcha, okay.
You know, but it's mostly sex and language.
Wow.
But if you're in the market for a 5-minute Martin Scorsese movie, they're the people
to go to.
Yeah.
You can watch Casino like on the toilet. From the time it takes you to just void, you can just see the whole film. I don't have time to wipe. Who's with me? wiping's good, right?
I don't
think you're not aware of that. Wipers?
I mean, yes.
Yeah, we wipers? Wipe. I wipe. I don't mean to speak for you, Kevin.
I mean, I do too, but okay. I don't feel like we need
Kevin
to talk
needs a
about
fire hose.
What's happening right now?
He's got a hydrant. He's got a nearby hydrant that he takes advantage of. I don't know why, but he's very clean. He's a very clean man. That's my point, is that Kevin's a very clean man.
Thank you, Ralph.
That's nice.
How often do you change your underwear during the course of the day,
Kevin?
Oh, my God.
So once a day.
Yeah, really. So.
Once a day.
On average.
Once a day.
Seriously. He's very clean. How many showers do you take, you think, in a day?
Probably two a day.
Really?
Yeah, probably two.
Huh.
And you know what? I watch shampoo my hair. I'm crazy that way. I actually use shampoo on my hair. I'm a crazy man.
Wow.
You remember that topic, right?
I do.
Where people were saying don't shampoo your hair ever?
Bad for
I
you.
Do.
Yeah. Okay.
Back so you shampoo this. Twice a day?
No. But I use once a day I do, though. Yeah.
So
but
you
I take a couple
lie.
Showers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your hair is so closely cropped. You wouldn't really need to wash it at all.
I'm a clean guy, Ralph.
I understand. I think that was my point. I think I initiated.
All right. Well, let's leave it there. Then who cares?
I'm just saying. No, okay.
Is there
Kevin,
no showbiz?
God
What's
damn
happening?
It.
This is my time.
Okay.
It could be whatever Ralph wants it
all
to
right.
be.
All right. Okay. Damn it, Allie.
Sorry.
Why do some people tune out?
Does Princess Leia need to be an official Disney princess? Is that a thing that needs to happen?
I don't hate it.
Listen, I understand a lot of people are very upset about the passing of Carrie Fisher. But there's a bunch of petitions online now that are demanding a lot of stuff regarding her character of Princess Leia. And I think there's some confusion regarding the character and the woman.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That does the woman a disservice.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a big way. I know these people, their hearts are in the right place. But there's a big petition on change.org demanding that Disney make Princess Leia one of the official Disney princesses, along with Snow White and Cinderella.
Yeah, aren't they all animated?
They're all animated. There are no live-action princesses in the Disney princess collection. Let's say that happens. Let's say they do that, and they say, okay, she's officially a Disney princess. Then what happens then? What magical thing happens?
I can only imagine her hearing this and just flipping everyone off.
Yeah.
You know?
Saying, who cares?
Yeah.
Another petition is asking that they give Carrie top billing in Star Wars Episode 8.
Again, I don't think she'd care at all.
It's irrelevant. Someone is demanding that they name a star after Carrie Fisher.
Okay, well,
in the galaxy?
That's valid. Yeah. That is valid.
No, it's
that's
not.
That's a solid idea
it's
right
dumb.
There.
And they're asking NASA to do it. I don't even know if NASA's in charge of naming stars.
Huh.
I like that.
Another
one.
Petition
down with
is
that.
Demanding Disney build a statue of General Leia Organa at the new Star Wars land.
Well, I can see that.
Yeah, that seems appropriate.
Yeah. Sure.
That doesn't bother me so much, but it's just.
Look, she was a huge part of a lot of people's lives.
And that I wouldn't mind seeing her get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame for reals this year. I wouldn't mind that.
That would be a little bit more, I think, Carrie-centric and less Leia-centric, which is something I'd like to see.
Right.
We'll have to wait and see. Meanwhile, Broadway theaters announced yesterday they will dim their marquee light tonight for 1 minute at 7:45 Eastern in memory of both Carrie and her mother, Debbie Reynolds. So I think that's a nice gesture. They have worked together for the first time on Broadway in a musical called Irene back in the 70s, so that's a nice gesture. Tonight at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I are taking stage once again to do Hollywood Babylon. Love to have you come out and join us. It's 10 p.m. tonight. Me, Smith, you, cocktails, food at the Improv. It's a good time. Go to improv.com to get your tickets.
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Irina Shayk is 31. Arctic Monkeys singer Alex Turner turns 31 as well. Kate McKinnon of SNL is 33. Eddie Redmayne's 35. Joey Lauren Adams, speaking of Kevin Smith, she, of course, was the star of Chasing Amy back in the day, 48 years old. Norman Reedus is 48 as well, and Rowan Atkinson. Mr. Bean, the good one, is 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
He hasn't even said a word yet, and he's already a mystery to me. Michael Schneider is in studio, our friend who's the executive editor of IndieWire and editor-at-large of Variety. And he walks in this morning to talk Golden Globes, and he's wearing a Zero Club t-shirt.
Right?
And I think
card-carrying member.
This flies in the face of everything I thought I knew about Mr. Schneider, yeah. Who seems like a very bright guy, a guy who plans ahead, a guy who's prepared, a guy who's very busy with lots of important right. things on his calendar. He's the last person who should be driving around with his gas gauge on zero.
Yeah. Look, it just happens.
It happens. It happens.
It happens in life. And yeah. Michael was like, why not get the shirt for it?
Yeah. Well, you know what happens is, so I work late, and when I'm driving home, it's like after 8 o'clock, and I'm like, I'm not going to go to the gas station. I just want to get home. I want to see the kids.
But your car needs gasoline to drive.
And then what happens is the next morning, oh, wait, I got to take the kids to school. Well, I'm late to take them to school. I still can't stop at the gas station.
So how far is it, and how many miles do you have left? You start playing that game.
I have about 10 miles left. The school's about 10 miles away.
I can't tell you how many times I've done that. So a lot of people would try desperately to get in the Zero Club, and I was like, look, I don't try it. It's just how life works out.
Yeah. Something's got
to
give.
It's not a good way to live your life. I've said that every single time, but it's just it happens.
No. So, but when by the time I got to zero, I was like, well, at least I get a t-shirt out of the deal.
All right.
So, Dave gave me grief because I did hashtag Zero Club, and apparently it's hashtag The Zero Club.
Correct.
So, my apologies.
Get it together.
Let me just mention while we're talking about this is that we have like 3 shirts left. I mean, this isn't going to last forever.
Yeah, we bought hundreds of them, but believe it or not, a lot of listeners wanted in on the Zero Club. So, yeah. All right. Well, listen, Mr. Schneider, Happy New Year,
Happy
first of all.
Happy New Year.
It's great to see you. And I guess my first question as we talk about the show Sunday night on NBC is, should we care about the Golden Globes? That's an award show that has a long history of the award doesn't really mean that much, but I always feel like every year it seems to get more respectable for some reason. So now I'm confused. What should I think?
Well, you know, what's been nice about the Golden Globes is that, especially on the TV side, they've managed to nominate and actually award shows that haven't gotten a lot of Emmy love, a lot of new shows, a lot of shows that are kind of under the radar. They make some interesting and bizarre choices. Their love of Mozart in the Jungle, for example, is a little bizarre.
I don't even know what that is.
It's an Amazon show. It's a fine show, but it's a show you won't hear a lot about. And, you know, there are too many other great shows for it to get much Emmy love. But there's little sort of things like that the Globes do that are interesting and different and provide some sort of spotlight. Rachel Bloom from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend won last year, which is fantastic. She's never going to get much Emmy love because there's
so many great... And that may have kept her show on the air, that kind of recognition, right?
So it's little things like that are fun. And then, of course, as you know, the Globe show itself, they're drinking heavily.
They do provide liquor.
Yeah, so that's a lot of fun. And also, it's in that small ballroom at the Beverly Hilton, so everyone is really crammed together. So you get people sort of accidentally running into each other and a lot of celebrity mashups, and it's kind of fun to see people who you don't think know each other talking and sharing stories during the show.
I snuck in one time and was sitting at a table, and I saw Jack Nicholson. I was like, I need to meet Jack Nicholson. This is great. So I walked over and I said, I'm sorry, Jack. And he hands me his glass and he tells me a drink. And I just went back and got him a drink. Well, I was like, all right, well.
You snuck in dressed as a waiter, though, right?
I mean, I was dressed up because it's the only way to sneak in. Yeah. But I wasn't really a waiter. But,
but why not?
I was it for that moment, yes.
Are we past the old impression of the Golden Globes, which is this is an award that is just campaigned for and awarded by how much FaceTime the writers get with the stars?
There's still a little bit of that. I mean, it's a small group. So the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, it's only about 160 people. So that's also why you get some bizarre winners sometimes, is the odds are that potentially a surprise could kind of sneak in. But, yeah, there's still a lot of campaigning. And although they've tried to avoid the high-priced campaigning that used to happen and used to really spin votes, there's still some of that goes on.
All right, I want to ask you about a couple of the major categories, for instance. The best, now they divide theirs into drama and comedy or musical, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So for drama, for instance, you've got The Crown on Netflix, and I think I may be the only person who has watched and loved that series. Game of Thrones on HBO, Stranger Things, another Netflix show, This Is Us on NBC, and Westworld HBO. That's kind of a nice cross-section of various platforms.
You know, I don't hate the nominees this year. They did a great job nominating shows. You know, you mentioned The Crown. It's not a show that a lot of people are talking about, but it's the kind of show that especially foreign critics love, and critics in general love. They spent a lot of money. That show was probably about $15 million per episode. And
it's beautifully shot and beautifully acted.
One of, if not the most expensive TV shows in history.
Really?
Yeah. So
still not interested. Well, Kevin doesn't have much love for the Queen.
Well, I'm not a fan of the Queen.
I was about to say, it does not sound like a Kevin show.
No, exactly.
But it's a critical darling. So I do think there's a good chance that the Crown could win. You know, you always have Game of Thrones in there, which is a little bit of a spoiler. But, you know, another spoiler could be This Is Us, because that's a show that people really have an emotional attachment to.
And that came on strong from episode one. People seem to be very invested in the characters.
From the trailer.
Yeah. The ratings are strong. The actors are strong. And so that could be
Milo Ventimiglia's butt is strong.
So strong.
It was in that trailer.
So good. So,
all right, best comedy series. The top of the other side of the aisle is best comedy series. Yeah. So Ali's Atlanta is nominated in that category.
Yeah.
Blackish on ABC. Mozart in the Jungle that you mentioned, the Amazon series. Transparent, another Amazon series. And Veep, maybe one of the best shows of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, Veep has to win this.
Who might win that one?
You know, Veep should win it, and Veep always wins the Emmy. But again, these are the HFPA, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association voters. So they may want to go with something different, maybe something new if they really want to make some noise. Atlanta would be the perfect choice because that is a show that came on strong.
We do love that show.
It's a great show. And the Globes tends to award new shows more than the Emmys. So there's a good chance Atlanta could win. You know, Veep surprisingly hasn't been winning because they keep awarding different shows like Mozart in the Jungle every year. So
I wonder if some of it is that this is the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, and they're not as enamored of our political system as we are, because we love watching Veep because it's about our country and our government. I wonder if for whatever reason it doesn't translate. I don't know.
I don't know, because you know originally the show was created and produced by Armando Iannucci, who of course is from overseas and sort of brought that British humor and perspective sort of to the backbone of Veep.
And
so.
I think funny is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a guy grabbing another guy's nuts. I mean, come on.
That works in every language.
Right. I think they may just take it for granted, thinking, well, this show wins every other award,
let's
vote for something different and let's be unique.
One of the great TV experiences of 2016, and it was a surprise to me how wonderful it was The People versus O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story. I thought, with a couple of exceptions of terrible actors on that show,
is up for a Golden Globe.
Who's up for a Golden Globe?
John Travolta!
Wasn't he the weakest thing about that series?
Possible?
He was the worst. He was cartoonish.
A parody.
Well, he was starring in a different show.
He was.
It happened that they were filming at the same time, but
he was so cartoonishly bad.
But Sarah
Paulson and Sterling K. Brown were so brilliant, though.
Yeah,
that's why it makes the John Travolta thing so much more of a mystery.
Yeah, I mean that's a fun nomination. I mean he got nominated because he's John Travolta, and if he spent any time with the members of the HFPA, they probably were like, "Well, John Travolta, we gotta nominate him."
Did they watch the show?
Maybe not.
We all did, and he's terrible.
He was comedic relief on that show.
Will there be a bunch of wins for that miniseries that
night? Oh, yeah. Still, even though it does feel like it was a while ago, and this is a rare chance where the Emmys was actually able to award that show before the Globes. Usually the Globes is able to come first because shows premiere in the fall, but that show was in the spring. So it does feel like it was a while ago, but how do you not recognize that show, and especially Sterling K. Brown and Sarah Paulson, who those were performances of the year.
John Travolta.
All right, what's your advice for us? This is the voice of Michael Schneider, executive editor of IndieWire, on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about the Golden Globe Sunday night. What's your advice for those of us who don't want to see Jimmy Fallon on our TV?
Well, you know,
DVR and fast forward.
Think of it this way, because Jimmy Fallon, I think, has a real challenge on Sunday night. So you're going to want to kind of see how he manages to acquit himself. You may recall.
I'm not really, though.
But you may recall, you know, the moment where he ruffled Donald Trump's hair on The Tonight Show felt like a turning point in that campaign. It helped normalize Trump. And a lot of people really are still down on Fallon, including people who are going to be in that room.
Is that right?
On Sunday.
Well, they felt like Jimmy Kimmel met Donald Trump head on and asked the kinds of questions that he wasn't being asked in the rest of the news media.
And that's what people wanted from Fallon, is they wanted him to take it seriously, and he turned it into a joke.
But do they know that he's Jimmy Fallon?
Well, I think they do, but I think in that case, they thought he had a responsibility to be serious. And I think you could certainly argue that. You could also argue the other side, which is that's not what The Tonight Show's
about.
Well,
you could also argue that maybe then at that point, you don't have a presidential candidate on that late in the race. If that's not your show, then why even have him on? You know, because
that's fair, too.
So you know, the big question is going to be, we're just days away now from the inauguration, and that's going to be the elephant in the room at the Golden Globes on Sunday. What kind of jokes, how many jokes will Fallon make, and also what kind of acceptance speeches are people going to make, and how often is Trump going to be name-checked at the show?
Well, we're going to fast-forward through those parts, so will you put them up on your Twitter?
I will. On my Twitter, on my story, okay, so just go there. Go to IndieWire.com.
Okay, good.
I know this isn't Globes-related, but I have to ask, since we got into the topic, is what do you think about the Donald Trump versus Arnold Schwarzenegger Twitter feud going on this morning, Michael?
I'm enjoying it. It's just ridiculous. You know what's interesting is I was at that press conference a couple weeks ago with Schwarzenegger, and we all kept asking him the obvious Trump questions, and he wouldn't take the bait. He was very, you know, just gave the standard answer, pat answer. Hey, listen, we need to give him our respect.
He's been in a political family for a long time.
Well, yeah. And so Schwarzenegger knows how to play the game, right, even though he's an actor, and so it's kind of fascinating to see him, you know, attempt to be a politician versus Trump, who just doesn't even pretend to be a politician and doesn't even try to do that. So, I mean, I'm terrified. Is that the word?
That's the
I'm
word.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
All right, what do you have, because we're almost out of time here, Michael, what do you have coverage-wise from between IndieWire and Variety we should be looking for?
So I'll be in the room on Sunday, actually, which will be a lot of fun. So I'll be keeping an eye on who's getting drunk,
are you at a good
who's
table?
Talking to who. I'm at the reporter's table, so I'll be in the back of the room. But again, that room's a small room, so you still get to see everyone, and everyone walks
by. So you'll
by.
See the back of Viola Davis's head, that sort of thing?
Exactly.
All right.
But I'll get to see them as they walk in the room and as they brush past me to get to their better table. And I'll tweet about it, and I'll Instagram photos of the blurry photos of the backs of their heads.
I like it. That's the best kind of coverage right there.
So check out IndieWire's Instagram for that.
Really selling it.
But tons of analysis on the winners, the losers. The film side, too. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think La La Land and Moonlight, they're going to have big nights. So to keep an eye out for those, too.
All right. Can't wait. The Golden Globes are this Sunday night on NBC. Michael Snyder, by the way, is on Twitter, and you can follow him and should at Franklin Avenue. Thanks for coming in, Mike. Good to see you.
Thanks, guys. Thinking too much.
You can't. Chip starts bowing before anyone had a chance to even.
She's pretty happy with herself.
What's going on? Congratulations to Adrian Sandoval from Carson. Just won. He climbed aboard the party bus for K-Rock's Ditch Day at Mountain High. You ride up with K-Rock. You get lift tickets for the day, and it's Friday, January 20th. You could win your tickets coming up here on the world famous K-Rock.
Do we bring him back too, or you just get to ride up and
just
find your own?
Just up there. Just
up. Only up.
All right, Allie, is your antenna up on this one, too? Is this real or is this fake? What do you think?
If it's real, something is very wrong with this
landlord.
It
sure looks real. Yeah. I'll tell you, this one looks real. This is a landlord in Melbourne, Australia, who now is trying to charge the tenants in his apartment building $1 every time they flush the toilet. Now, is this that the water bill is expensive and he's looking for a way to recoup his losses? If that's the case, why not just raise the rent a couple of bucks? You can't attach it to per flush, can you?
Well, we'll hear the news piece in a second where they think it's illegal.
It has to be illegal.
But according to the story, the people that live in the building are saying that it is $1 a flush.
That's outrageous.
The number is outrageous.
Outrageous.
I mean, if you're going to try and do that, don't you? Maybe a quarter, maybe 50 cents. Do you go $1?
Yeah.
No.
So maybe it's not true, but I want it to be true.
Well, let's hear the report and let's see.
Now, a Melbourne tenant claims their landlord has installed a coin-operated toilet in their house.
Now, it's also coin-operated.
So what if you don't have a coin?
Let's say you have $1. You can't flush?
You cannot.
That is not cool.
Can you imagine, by the way, the conversation? First of all, I assume the landlord sends out an email or, you know, a flyer in everybody's mailbox or something that says, hey, here's the new policy starting first of the year is you're going to have to start paying to poop, okay? And then there's that day where a guy literally shows up at your apartment who needs to come in and install coin operation machinery onto your toilet.
Yes.
How awkward is that?
Not cool. Not cool indeed.
Cool.
Writing online, the Thornbury resident said the landlord claimed it was a government initiative to save water.
Okay, so that's a lie. It's not a government issued way to save water.
Because everyone would have to have it.
Right.
But they ask, why was the landlord collecting the money? Nick, it's a bit rough to expect tenants to pay $1 to flush the loo, isn't it?
Oh, of course it is. But I'm worried about inflation again. Because when my mum was little, she used to have to pay a penny to go to a public toilet in Melbourne.
All right, but that guy's talking about a public toilet.
Right.
This is in your apartment.
Yeah.
And those public toilets, it's to get into them. It's not to flush them.
Right.
And now it's gone up to a dollar. That is incredible inflation. Now, let's hope this is a little bit of a furphy.
Now, I don't know what a furphy is.
I think a furphy is like, this is a joke. Okay. Like, it's not real.
That's the context of how they use it. They hope it's a furphy.
If it isn't a furphy, then it is the landlord trying to have it on. It raises all sorts of nasty images in the mind. It must be illegal, and it's very, very simple. There is a tenants' union here in Victoria. When there is any doubt about what the landlord is doing to you in terms of cost, you go to the tenants' union and you say, is it legal or not? This is clearly, it can't be legal. It is clearly illegal.
It's clearly illegal.
I'm trying to think, and I don't know what the laws are in Australia, but in America, would something like this be illegal? And if so, what statute is it violating?
I don't have that on the tip of my tongue, but it seems can't like be legal.
That's what I think, but why?
Why can't it?
Yeah.
Unless it's in, it could be in your actual lease agreement. Then it could be legal because you signed
up for it. And you don't realize that you're paying for that.
But other than that, no. I agree. This is a furphy.
This is a furphy.
Yes.
So then they start like thinking about other situations where it would be bad.
Just imagine a dinner party.
Can you imagine? Oh.
You have a whole bunch of people over for dinner.
No.
And he adds food poisoning. Because that's going to cost a lot.
Imagine a party at your place. God forbid food poisoning.
There are so many questions. Yeah, do you pay more for number one or number two?
Do you pay more for number one or number two?
Well, what if it's a two-flusher?
That's a great point.
That's
$2. Should it cost you $2, right? I would just assume if you're a tenant in this apartment building, and I don't want to get into too much detail here, but you probably wouldn't flush the number ones, I wouldn't think, right? Because why pay for that?
I think if you have to pay for each flush, you build the mountain as well.
Oh, Kevin! Good Lord.
No. You're not with me on that?
Oh, God.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
Are we having a furfer? Or is this a furfer? What's a furfer?
Furfy.
It's a furfy, for God's sakes, Bean.
Are we having a furfer?
It's a new term we learned today. It's a furfy.
Not everybody learned it, apparently. Some of us learned it.
Furfer's probably very different.
Are we having a furor? I think furor would be good.
Now, what that Australian guy who's trying to charge his tenants per poop, what did you hear a furfy was, Allie? A rumor?
An incorrect report or a rumor. That's a furfy.
Okay. All right. Shall we try to introduce that to America here? Should we try to introduce that to America? Should we try to work the furphy in?
Do you think it's a cultural thing for Australia? Let them have their thing.
And do you think we're capable of that?
You couldn't say it the first time.
Right.
You said furfer. You think it's a furfer?
Not cool. Not cool indeed.
I don't think you can introduce it to the culture if you can't say it.
I think you're probably right. All right, Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hollywood Babylon's going on tonight at 10 p.m. Kevin Smith and I.
Is that true or is that a furfer?
It's a furfy, first of all, it's not a furfy. Smith and I are going to take the stage at the Improv tonight at 10 p.m. We'd love to have you come out and join us and say hi and drink with us and laugh with us. Come on, Jerry. Jerry, you'll have a good time.
It's great.
See? He's already turning.
I think that was a furphy.
I don't feel like Jerry Lewis had a good time in a long, long time.
You kidding me?
No.
He's in Vegas all the time.
Yeah.
1947.
Right, 1947. That's when he started, right.
That dusty cow town he used to hang in.
It isn't
anymore, no.
Why?
Because I'm going to do the show tonight at 10 p.m. at the Improv with Kevin Smith. Go to the Improv website, improv.com, to get your tickets.
I'm glad you remembered it.
Me too. I wouldn't know where to
He wanted you to get your
plug-ins. Yeah. Hey, what does Godzilla put on his toast?
Oh, jeez.
I don't know.
Kevin, what's Godzilla put on his toast?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Monster Jam!
Yay!
Boom!
Not cool.
Oh, so cool. Monster Jam is coming to Angel Stadium January 14th. The most exciting form of family motorsports entertainment on the planet. You know, he's very excited about that. Lightning. Our boy Lightning's very excited.
Yes, he is.
Yes! I love you!
Yes, I love you too.
Everybody say hey!
All right.
Oh! Everybody scream!
Lightning is so excited. He's going to be an official Monster Jam judge. And you, my friends, will get to join him.
Now, what does that mean?
That is classic.
Now, what does that mean? Do they get to be a judge as well?
Oh, look at that. Motorsport. That was good. And then you give it a grade.
Hold up your beers if you're drinking.
I can't. I can't keep turning my headphones up and down so much.
He loves himself a microphone.
Yeah, what was it? Yeah, he got it. We got a winner.
Extra to put any bass in his voice?
It must.
Is it a financial savings here at K-Rock that we've had the bottom end surgically removed?
Yes, we pay less to use half the bandwidth.
Oh, man. 4-pack of tickets to Monster Jam, plus you join Lightning as an official Monster Jam judge. Caller 20 right now. 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 20. Get that 4-pack of tickets to Monster Jam, and you get to be an official Monster Jam judge. Call now. We'll get right back to you.
We won't get right back to you.
I thought that's the way it works.
Yeah, that's what some dumb guy said once.
Nicki Minaj is single. Single and looking to mingle. She has called it quits with Meek Mill. She broke the news on Twitter saying, to confirm, yes, I am single. That would be intimidating to date Nicki Minaj, don't you think?
I think it would be exhausting as well.
In a good way, though, right? You're like, oh, I'm all spent. I'm all empty.
She seems like a lot of work.
I mean, in terms of energy.
We had the information when you said spent.
Energy-wise. I am all of my energy has been expended.
Right.
You don't know.
She's got a great set of furfers, though, I'll tell you that.
Furfy, first of all, is the word, and it doesn't mean anything like that.
I'm sorry.
Cher is going to act for the first time in years. You heard me. Cher.
Now, she is an Academy Award-winning actress, if I recall.
Damn right she is. Going to star in a new Lifetime movie about the clean water crisis in Flint, Michigan. She's going to play one of the Flint residents who's been affected by the tainted water in the film, which is based on the Time magazine story from February of last year called The Toxic Tap. Now, she has been very active in this story even before this project. She's been involved in raising awareness for the water problems, and she's been donating thousands of bottles of water to the Flint area since this crisis started. So, no surprise here that she will be tied in.
So, this is not a furfer?
It's not a furfy.
Furfy.
Glad to see her acting again. You know, they're doing a Broadway musical based on her life.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's one of those jukebox musicals where they play her hits throughout her career. It's called The Cher Show, and they're going to be putting it on Broadway. And it looks like they're going to do a Charmed reboot. Charmed is coming back. The CW apparently will be airing it. Of course, you remember the original starring Shannon Doherty and Holly Marie Combs and Alyssa Milano. Later, Rose McGowan, that bitch, she was on there.
Wow!
And this is weird, because they're bringing back the Three Witch Sisters again, but it's going to be set in 1976.
So is it like a prequel to the original Charmed series?
No, it's a reboot.
Okay.
But instead of setting it in current times, like the original was, it was just a show that took place in modern times, they're going to make it a period piece and have it take place in the 70s. Because I think they want to tap into sort of that Stranger Things vibe, which is like, oh, it's a retro thing, isn't that cool kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This Is Us, same thing.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Hope that goes well.
We'll wait to see what happens.
Do they have a very attractive and talented young man to play the DJ in the club where the girls end up?
I can't imagine they could find someone to fill those shoes.
I mean, I feel like you're probably you're too old for the role if it's going to be set in the 70s, but they got to find somebody for it, right?
Speaking of which, tonight at Hollywood Babylon, as a tribute to this story, we will be doing a little screening of my work from Charmed. So if you ever wanted to see that on the big screen, you can come out and see hours and hours of footage of all my roles from Charmed will be on display tonight at Hollywood Babylon.
But out of curiosity, before we go to it, how would he be too old to portray a DJ in the 70s?
Because there were no older DJs in the 70s, Allie. All DJs in the 70s were 12. I don't know if you knew this about
true?
Radio or not. Yes,
okay, I did not know
little,
that.
It's a little radio trivia.
Okay, just wasn't sure if
that's a
time...
Furfur. That's a furfur to me.
It's just odd to me.
You don't even see that dresser going over on those children. What kind of video is that? Why isn't that child upset?
Says the guy who didn't watch the video.
He's on just a tear this week.
It's been a week.
Spectacular. Today's celebrity birthday.
We need a Christmas vacation break, don't we?
Oh, so bad.
Rowan Atkinson is 62 years old today. Actor Norman Reedus is 48. Joey Lauren Adams, we were just talking about Kevin Smith. She starred, of course, in Chasing Amy, one of my favorite Smith films, 48 years old today. Eddie Redmayne's 35. Kate McKinnon is 33. Alex Turner of Arctic Monkeys celebrates his 31st birthday. And Irina Shayk, lovely and talented supermodel. She is also 31 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out to SoCal Helpful. Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness for you. That means if you tune in at 5 p.m. today on the world-famous K-Rock, you get a commercial-free hour. So enjoy that, and thank you to Honda, and have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
All right, let's start. Chit-chat time's over.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, running wild in the street.
Right?
Roll another one.
You self-serving son of a bitch.
Just like the other one.
Well, thank you for pointing that out.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh, that's right.
And I need another hit.
Clown.
This one seems to be about to end.
Oh my gosh, no.
I don't have another cent.
But yeah, no, yes.
But the one guard that joined.
Ah, mamma mia.
Just pass it around.
Whip it real good.
But the one guard that joined, my friend.
Sounds pretty outrageous.
In America, you should be ashamed.
You see? That's what I'm talking about. Men breaking each other's balls. Get the hell out.
Be excellent to each other. Party on, dudes. San Dimas High School football rules.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You've terminated. Now, get to the chopper.
Anything else you want to...
No.